don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You love my black ass. You know why? Because I'm excited.
Black is not a color.
Tell that to black people.
I don't know any.
Affirmative action was designed to keep women and minorities in competition with each other to distract us while white dudes inject AIDS into our chicken nuggets. That's a metaphor.
It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down!
I'm afraid if he wins, the blacks will take over.
When you've got a Negro running for high president, you need a first stringer. He's definitely a second stringer.
My movement is reparation for 400 years of slavery, the black slave holocaust where the white people did us, and we're still suffering the effects of that, you know.
What is your idea of reparation?
We asked for $8 to $12 billion annually for the rest of our natural lives, forever.
And now.
Oh, come on. Why does it always have to be a racial thing with you blacks?
Our feature presentation.
I think that's a decent amount that we could settle on. $8 to $12 billion every year for the rest of his life.
Not for the rest of his life, forever.
Forever.
Now, was he talking about, he wasn't talking about just for him, for each person. He was talking about for everybody that applies for reparations, wasn't he?
I would think so, yes.
I would have to imagine. Mike's the one that did that interview.
Yeah. What would his cut be then, Mike?
I didn't really get into details. He was pretty angry, and I think he saw me as a representative of white America and wanted to hurt me. So I was out.
Well,
I was out.
You may have had ancestors that kept his ancestors down, man. You got to keep that in mind.
But I
don't know that the Mexican people have kept anyone down.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he had a whole idea about what was good for black culture as a whole. So I think that was for all black people annually, forever.
Okay. In America, though. Only in America.
Only in America.
Okay.
Yeah.
$8 to $12 billion every year forever.
It's a pretty good deal.
I think so. I'd go black.
Yeah.
You
know what you wouldn't do?
Right.
Go back.
That's right.
That's what I understand.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33, and it's Tuesday, the 21st of Foxtober.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Do you want a cuddle for a while?
You guys understand that Halloween's a week from Friday, is that right?
Yes.
That's correct.
And then it's November.
Right.
My family is already discussing where Thanksgiving's going to be.
And then right after that is a little thing we call Christmas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be on us in a day or two, it feels like.
Yes, it is.
I wonder if there's going to be a Kevin and Bean Halloween event.
We all wonder, Bean.
There's no way to tell, is there?
Nope.
We are not privy to that information.
I do believe that we could guess pretty well, though.
Yeah.
We could probably put a pretty good guess out there, which is no. No.
I got to tell you, Lightning, God bless Lightning, who is the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show for many, many years and now does a terrific job over there at KROQ.com. He's pretty much in charge of the content on the website, which is great. I give him all credit for that.
You know what else he used to do? Show up on time. Back to you.
Do you say that because producer Alex is not here?
That's correct.
Interesting. So, God bless Lightning. We love him and we miss him. And he had an idea once that we just pounded him into the ground over because we so didn't want to do it. But he says, guys, all the interesting stuff in your lives happens after 10 a.m.
Oh,
that's
sure.
Where the show is. You guys should be taping that after the show to see the meetings because that's what people were really
– sure.
We just yell at him because we know, you know, that's bad news for us, right? Because the stuff that gets said in those meetings. But yesterday is such a great example of us begging for information on whether we have a party that we're supposed to be planning desperately to get on the air. And also, the meeting that starts, well, I just got off the phone with New York, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And yesterday was another one of those. And we saw this one coming because anytime there's something good that we managed to get on our show, we just know it's a matter of time before some suit somewhere who doesn't know anything about our show, doesn't listen to our show, doesn't care about our show, just says, well, somebody might be offended. So you best not play that anymore. Don't do that bit. Don't do that voice. Don't talk about that topic. Don't use that word. I mean, just fill in the blank. Stupid Paper Stains, which was the most requested song here on KROQ, that tens of thousands of people have streamed at KROQ.com, which we get phenomenal reaction every single time we play from everyone except for me. That's
that's funny.
Am I lying when I tell you that there hasn't been one complaint?
No, I asked very specifically.
One.
Has one single person complained? Nope.
Yeah.
Has anyone been offended that we've heard about?
They might have been grossed out.
Other than me.
Yeah. But, other than me.
Who hates it? But that's what we expect.
There may be people who are offended who do the responsible thing, which is to say, I don't think I want to hear that show right now, so I'm going to turn it off and see what Big Boy's up to. I mean, that's what you should do if you hear something on our show that you don't like. Right?
Right.
Sure. But this was a foregone conclusion that this is the way it was going to go. True. As a matter of fact, we're a little shocked that it didn't go quicker.
It took almost a week.
It took almost a week for word to get to New York and for them to pull it. But we told you the day we debuted it, which was what, like last Thursday or Wednesday or something like that, we said, guys, if you like this song, we're telling you now, figure out some way to tape it, because we're telling you there's no way it's going to be around for long. Not because there's anything wrong with it, not because we didn't think it was fine and should be on the air and you would enjoy it, but because we knew somebody out there in our company was going to say, well, people could get offended, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's
good
what they
times.
Said.
We've exactly tried to have many conversations with them where they say, you can't offend anyone. And we say, you know, you should try doing a show maybe just once, because what you'll realize if you do that is that you can't not offend someone. I mean, there's no possible way to be offense-free.
No.
It doesn't matter what you're talking about. It could be something completely just obscure or not important or whatever, and somebody is out there trying to get their feelings hurt. So that happens.
The most offensive thing I've heard lately is you can't offend anyone. That's offensive.
Yeah.
But God damn it, if we didn't get that meeting yesterday. Well, guys, got to pull it. Can't play the most requested, most loved song on K-Rock anymore on your show, because, God forbid, it's popular and people like it and people may listen.
Yeah.
So good times.
All right.
Wow. Way to bring us down, man.
Yeah.
Well, just saying. I spent some time thinking about that yesterday.
You know what we can play?
Right.
Well, your mom busted in, said, what's that noise?
That's
it. Oh, mommy, just jealous. It's a big and rich boy. You gotta fight for your right to party.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could play that.
Mm-hmm.
How is that not offensive, by the way?
That is offensive. That's
if you're
one
a Beastie Boys fan. That has to drive you crazy.
On
you
every should level.
On my way to work just this morning, I heard Imus playing that little snippet of it and talking about how great it was.
Really?
That is on his, you know, Cure for
his
Cancer
charity
and
album,
children's
right, yeah.
album. Or
this is the AM dude in New York?
Yeah.
Don Imus, yeah.
How about the Big and Rich Boys? That sounds pretty great, doesn't it? It's a pretty awesome song.
He does wear a cowboy hat. You can't expect much.
Yeah, he's probably never even heard the Beastie Boys.
That's a fantastic song. Really, isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic? And everybody in the studio goes, oh, wow, that's great, yeah.
You sound a lot like him, Mike.
And we're using it as an example of the worst type of cover song ever, and we're going to do that topic today, the worst cover songs, because that should have never been done. Yeah. Where are the
that
suits?
Was terrible. I mean, seriously terrible.
Yeah. Where are the suits when that was made? Where are those suits then going, nope, offensive?
I know there's a lot of bad songs, more bad than good, perhaps, but that really is one of the worst cover songs I've ever heard in my life. I mean, that is up there.
Yeah.
Well, and partly because it took such a great song. I mean, if it's
it's
an okay
classic
song to begin with, you're like, whatever, but it's such a good song that no one should touch it.
And I'm not one of those people who thinks that a song is off limits, but I think you've got to do something good with it.
Yeah.
I don't care. Tackle a classic if you want, but do something good with it. Don't tackle a classic and suck.
And insert your own name into it. That's really the height.
Yeah. And furthermore, don't be big and rich. If you have
That's
a choice,
great advice.
Choose not to.
That's great advice.
So we're going to do worst cover songs today on The Kevin and Bean Show.
All right.
Awesome.
We're going to tell you about the NSA eavesdropping program.
Mm-hmm.
Super.
They're listening.
We saw this coming when they got all those special powers, all that domestic surveillance that we knew was going to happen.
Try to get a hold of Doto. I don't know how that search is going, but it does seem to be very difficult for a guy who wants to make it in showbiz.
You're an idiot asshole!
Very difficult. I mean, it is a 2-week process to get him on the show. Then he comes on and says, hey, Kevin and Bean, I want to be making the showbiz, Kevin and Bean. We go, well, you know, we
call us back.
We wasted the last couple of weeks trying to get a hold of him.
I know. He wants to do segments and stuff, and we can't find him.
Yeah.
We could start a clock right now and see if we could get Goto on the air or Governor Schwarzenegger first. And I think we'd have more luck with the governor.
Sure.
But, Mike, weren't you telling me that Doe has discovered MySpace now, and that's what he does with all of his time now?
It now rules his life. He spent nothing but all of the last week emailing, MySpace messaging, Lightning, myself, a couple other K-Rock listeners, and it's just like nonstop. Like, as soon as one MySpace message comes in, it seems like I get three sentences into it, and another one comes from Doe.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's a perfect world right there.
Right, and they're exactly like the voicemails or the emails that we get from him in the past, where it's he'll get out one new kind of idea, and then it's always back to, I need a woman. Sure. I want to make it show business. You know, every single one.
I wonder how he discovered MySpace so quickly. I mean, that's brand new.
He is right on top of it.
Not very many people even know about MySpace yet, so that's pretty impressive.
Also on today's Kevin and Bean Show, we have a Criss Angel sighting. Always love it when our listeners run into celebrities that we are not fans of, and they do the right thing and, you know, embarrass them. So that's coming up this morning. We're going to talk to a K-Rock listener just after 6 who has a unique work problem, and that is that she works right next to a farter.
Oh.
Oh, God.
No, it's not money.
No.
It isn't money, no. We're going to tell you about a geisha facial, and I know that sounds dirty, but it's not.
Well, like New York's not going to kill that one before it gets on the air.
Yeah.
There's a new way to get a facial.
And also on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, Joshua Jackson. Talking about his new TV show, Fringe.
That's really good, and he's really good on it.
He really is good.
I really like him in that show.
So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
I have one thing to say. All girls are shady.
Whoa!
There it is.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
My favorite part of that is, there it is. Ah, good times.
The FCC lets that go out on television?
Yes, they do.
And yet they're pulling your little tune there, your little song. That doesn't seem right somehow.
Bastards.
Yeah.
How can you say those kind of inflammatory statements about women?
I'm offended.
They're shady.
They are shady, yeah. by the way.
Wow. No wonder everyone's in shock when he says it.
I think we should march on the hills.
Wow. Stunning.
Brody on a private plane last night with all of his friends heading down to Cabo for his birthday, filling up this villa that they're renting, I guess, or somebody let him use with a bunch of imported chicks, just dozens of chicks just everywhere.
Yeah.
They're living the life.
For now, sure.
For now, yeah.
But a year from now, they'll be homeless, and that's some consolation.
I don't know, because I don't know where all Brody's money comes from. He could be one of those guys who's just going to have this super easy life his whole life, you know, if his family's got big wealth.
Oh, yeah, I guess if it comes from mom and dad.
Right.
Yeah. There should be some kind of law about how much money you can let your kids spend of yours. You should be, like, obligated to give them the minimum essentials, roof over their head, food, clothing, that kind of stuff. And then that's it. Until they're, like, 30, they don't get to cash in on any of your wealth. Because it just makes people assholes.
Yep.
Yeah,
it does.
Enormous money just makes people tools.
Private plane with your friends to Cabo for your birthday. That's his life right there.
That's too much for him. He hasn't earned that.
How dare you?
Whatever his parents did to make their money has nothing to do with what a jag-off he is.
You're saying Brody hasn't earned it?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that takes a lot of guts.
This may be a controversial position, but I think Brody has not earned his fame and or his fortune.
Wow.
I was angry to see Audrina and LC allowed on the private plane on their way to Cabo for a free weekend. I was offended by that, too, by the way. Yeah. They haven't earned it either. Don't get me started. All right, 5:53 Tuesday morning. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on?
Well, we're finding out that Mariah Carey nearly was a runaway bride.
Oh, awesome.
She says that she nearly made a mad dash away from the altar before her April wedding to Nick Cannon. Well, she's the one who wanted to run out on that relationship? Has Nick Cannon ever heard about Mariah Carey? Apparently, she said she was a little gun-shy before saying her I do's, but now she's convinced it's the best thing she's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she was a little shaky because, well, women are shaky. That's what
they are. Shady.
Shady and sure. Shaky. Because her first marriage to Tommy Mottola was simply a disaster, so it put her a little gun-shy to get married again. But so far, everything's good because she's married to Nick Cannon, private eye.
Yeah.
Travis Barker and Shannon Mochler may be patching things up.
Ooh,
now, that's good news.
They go through this more than Pam and Tommy
Lee.
They
do. Like, make up your minds.
And it gets a lot uglier with them, too.
Yeah.
In between, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Remember
between.
Travis went online saying she hadn't visited him but once, that first time when he was sent to a burn center in Georgia after the plane crash, and then she came back and said, well, sometimes horrible truths make horrible people and it tastes like horrible soup or something. I forget what she said.
I didn't understand it.
But they were having dinner last night. TMZ spotted them, and apparently they were having dinner together looking quite cozy.
Go for it.
TMZ.com reports that Travis was limping pretty badly, but seems happy. I guess you are happy just to be alive after going through something like that.
Sure.
On the other side, and he is getting better every day, so that's good news.
I always root for couples to get back together when they have small children, so I do hope it works out for them.
Speaking of newlyweds, Gisele Bündchen and Tom Brady may be getting married. The New York Post says that the most successful model in the world and one of the most successful NFL QBs in the world are secretly planning to tie the knot in the near future. Word is the beautiful couple wants to have a reception at the Manhattan restaurant Tavern on the Green. You ever been to that place near Central Park?
I don't think
Beautiful little joint.
Walked by it?
And walked by it, of course, on the way to a Denny's, I'm guessing.
Never been in it?
Or a place that sold slices of pizza for a nickel.
I'm afraid they're going to swap out my coffee with some no-name brand. That's why I don't go to Tavern on the Green.
Wow! 1977, they used to run that commercial for Folgers.
Wow!
Sherman set the Wayback Machine to wherever Bean lives.
Hey, this makes a lot of sense for Tom Brady to get married now because he's got the whole season off. I mean, why not go on a big honeymoon and really enjoy it?
Yes,
you know, he doesn't usually get all that much time off.
And I say that Tony Romo should do the same thing.
Hey!
Desperate to see him get married to Jessica Simpson.
That'd be the greatest.
Greatest thing ever. Paris Hilton is currently in England.
Okay. Can she stay there?
Actually, she says that she hopes to live there one day, Bean.
Fantastic.
Fingers crossed.
Because
great news.
Because she loves the personality, style, and attitudes of the British people. You might want to ask them what they think about you before you put down any roots, Paris, because I'm guessing they don't put up with your BS too well. They got enough problems over there with real royalty, let alone fake royalty.
Stop whoring around, Paris. Stop being a whore.
Good advice.
Dennis Rodman is currently filming Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump.
I hear they're friends.
They are. They're hanging out. He's rumored to be dating Khloe Kardashian, you know. Or China
Oh, wait, is that China?
As we know her.
Please take the bell back then.
Yeah.
On the Kardashian show. And Dennis says he doesn't believe in punching, cursing out, or running over annoying paparazzi like other stars.
Right.
Apparently he handles them by paying them off.
Rodman?
Yeah.
Pays off the press?
Yeah.
Where does he get the money?
That's a good question. He was approached by some cameraman in New York City while he was filming Celebrity Apprentice and didn't want to deal with it, so he took out a wad of cash and started paying all the guys off to go away.
Huh.
And they did.
Is a Dennis Rodman photograph these days worth the paper it's printed on? I mean, who wants that?
They probably figured
they can't sell it.
They probably figured that what he was giving them was more than they would get from the photo, so they just left.
Probably was a good deal. And good news! TV Guide magazine says that George Lopez is heading back for television.
Yes,
he's going to have his own late night talk show.
Oh, for God's sake!
Yes,
cleverly named the George Lopez Show.
Yes. Sure.
George says the show will be a lot like the Arsenio Hall Show.
I'm sorry.
Well, that went well.
Canceled?
He was a guest on the Arsenio Hall Show 16 times, he says. And he says he liked that format, he liked that style. You mean the style where people would talk to the host and he would do a monologue and had a band?
That's everyone else.
Sit on a couch?
For the pilot for his talk show, apparently he pulled Eva Longoria and Samuel L. Jackson. So they should be ashamed of themselves.
No kidding.
Gee, I wonder if his angle is going to be, it's strange being a Mexican.
I bet that's weird.
I wonder if
in
that's
white man's
gotta be
world.
Crazy. Gotta be crazy. And he's one of the stars of that Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
He's the talking Chihuahua.
He's the Chihuahua.
He's hot right now. Oh, he's the Chihuahua. Okay.
It's Drew Barrymore and him are the two Chihuahuas.
Isn't it funny, by the way, especially, you know, if you live in L.A., obviously you can pronounce the word Chihuahua, but did you see the movie posters and the ads that phonetically spelled out the word Chihuahua
in parentheses.
For people who may have seen the poster and went, what's the Chihuahua? What's that all about? Is that Hawaiian? And remember I told you how Terrence Howard lost his gig in Iron Man due to a salary dispute?
Yes.
Don Cheadle will be playing the role of his best friend, Randy Rhodes, in the... not Randy Rhodes, what's his name? Rowdy Rhodes.
I don't know his name.
Jim Rhodes.
All right.
Jim Rome.
Jim Rome.
Randy Rhodes would be better.
And I said it was over a salary conflict. Right. Apparently they weren't willing to pay him what he was asking. That's not what Terrence Howard says.
What's he say?
He said he was under the assumption he'd be starring in the Iron Man sequel until he read it in Variety and Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, you're kidding.
That the role had been given to Don Cheadle. It was the surprise of my life, he told the Hollywood Reporter.
And that's how you want to find out.
Money was not the issue. It had nothing to do with it. He still
doesn't
know.
Don't like him?
He still doesn't know why he was passed over for the role.
No kidding.
You got to know why actors are so insecure.
Yeah, but there's something missing in that story. There's no, because he's a great actor.
I know.
I mean, you don't just boot him and go get somebody else.
I know.
So what's missing?
I don't know.
Tell me!
I don't know. Wow, usually Bean's the guy asking me those kind of questions. Just telling you what Terrence Howard said. Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Wow. It's a weak-ass bunch. Weak-ass bunch of birthdays. Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains is 32.
Whoa.
Wanker.
Nick Oliveri from Queens of the Stone Age is 37.
And,
and Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, of course, from all the Star Wars movies, turns 52 years old today. Not a well-preserved 52?
Nope.
No. Looks very rough.
52 nonetheless.
52 going on 82.
Ladies, let that be a lesson. Say no to drugs. Actually, say no to dope and ug to drugs.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Shannon writes, what do I do to my coworker who farts at work all day?
Oh.
Applaud.
Shannon. Applaud is the answer.
Thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Lisa.
That is just so disgusting.
I want to ask you to name the company. What kind of business are y'all in, Shannon?
Well, I won't say the name of the company, but it's a mortgage business.
All right. Okay. Good times for that.
You're in an office.
Huh?
You're in an office, he said.
Yes, I'm in a quiet, conservative office where everyone just does their work quietly and nicely. And here's this guy. He sits across the aisle from me and just... reckless abandon.
Do you sense that he's doing it on purpose because he thinks it's funny, or is it something that he can't control, or what?
Well, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't get the sense that he thinks it's funny like some guys who just fart. Oh, isn't that so funny? I just farted. It's nothing like that. He just farts and doesn't react.
Oh, so
and so you're left wondering what's going on.
Is he the type of guy who would, you know, try to annoy people and laugh kind of to himself? No.
No, not at all. I don't. He's kind of a weird guy. It's very strange. I'm not sure what the deal is.
Are you the only one?
I don't know.
Are you the only one who hears him?
No, no. There's a group of us that sit near him who notice that he does this.
Now, do you ever have to stand up and walk out and get a breath of fresh air?
Fortunately, no.
All right.
So there's no bad odor. It's just the noise.
There's no bad odor, just the noise?
Yeah.
That's awesome. The noise is great. Come on. Is there a funnier noise than that?
It's pretty funny. But when it's happening, you're trying to do your work, and it's very distracting. You know?
It's even really annoying.
How often is this happening?
Well, there'll be days where nothing happens, and you're thinking, okay, maybe somebody said something to him, or maybe he's going to stop. And then there'll just be a day where all day long you're sitting at your desk and you're, like, waiting for it to happen, like, cringing, knowing any second he's going to fart again. And it's terrible. Sounds pretty much like that, yeah.
Shannon, have you or has anyone spoken with him about this?
No, but I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, according to your email,
according
to your email, you say that you kind of look at him, kind of stare him down, but you've never really said anything.
He doesn't look over. I've made comments like, "You've got to be kidding me," and I know he can hear it, but he just keeps looking at his computer and he doesn't look over.
So he ignores you and acts like you're not there.
Yes, exactly. And other people have made comments like, whoa, and people giggle, and he doesn't react. It's very strange.
He never reacts. That's weird.
That's the weirdest part.
It's so weird. I don't know if he can't think that we can't hear him.
Yeah, that is strange because either he finds it funny or he can't help it. I mean, really, that's pretty much it. Or he hates you guys, maybe.
Maybe he just hates us. I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird.
I bought this thing last year at that store called Oz, and it's a fart machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be really funny. They're not that expensive. If you got your own fart machine and you just battled him every time he did it.
Everybody in the office.
Set the thing off. Like,
that would be hilarious.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I have a question. Lisa, what did you need with a fart machine?
It was for a show I was doing, a one-woman piece that I wrote.
Wow. I'm glad I didn't see that.
A mishap in gymnastics. You can imagine where that went.
Oh, sure.
Yes. I see. Okay. Have you and your coworkers, who are also aware of this farting coworker, have you guys had a conference and thrown out some ideas of what to do, like go to the boss or put a bottle of Beano on his desk before he gets in the morning? I mean, have you talked about some strategies?
Yes, we have. And I actually, one day, I just was fed up and I had it. I couldn't take it anymore. And I was going to say something to him, but he was taking a training class and he had headphones, like a computer training, he had headphones on. So I couldn't say anything to him that day. So I went to my supervisor that day and I'm like, I can't take it anymore. And she was horrified because she's thinking, oh my gosh, I have to have this conversation with this guy.
He really does. It's his job, not yours.
I know, but they never said anything to him. Apparently, they decided it might be an HR issue or something. I don't know. They never said
How about
anything.
That?
They'd rather run it up the flagpole, get other people to do it, than just sit down and talk to the dude.
I guess. But I just thought that would be a funny conversation between.
Oh, my God.
I could talk to you about your problem.
I would be more than willing to have that conversation with him.
You can call him.
We used to do a bit called Kevin and Me Break the News. We could certainly bring that back.
Sure.
That would be funny.
Maybe we need to get him on the phone. Also, I think we might have to take some phone calls from people who have had the same problem and have had to deal with it.
You know they have.
Because you know there are a lot of people. Great idea. Although, I can't imagine there are a lot of... I mean, it seems like people who do that a lot are doing it for a purpose. And that's probably because they find it funny.
Well, Shannon might be right, though. Maybe he's got some medical issue or something.
Well, then don't you say, hey, sorry, I have a medical issue. I mean, don't you acknowledge it somehow if you're making that much noise?
Never actually. I mean, maybe if Shannon jumped up and went, hey!
Why do you keep farting?
Maybe then that would give him the opportunity to explain.
Maybe.
You know, we had a coworker with this same problem, Shannon, a few years ago, and we just sent him to do sports on an AM radio station. That's how we handled it.
Yeah, but see,
that was our answer.
But see, without getting too gross, without the odor, it wouldn't be as funny to him.
No, not at all.
Exactly. That was my thing. Why is he doing it? He's not reacting like he thinks it's funny or something. He just pretends like it didn't happen. It's very strange.
It is. Well, I think Lisa's right. I think it's not your responsibility. You need to talk to your supervisor and have your supervisor deal with it and make it clear that it's something you need, a conversation that needs to happen.
Or you could record it.
And do what with it, Kevin?
I don't know.
And do what with it?
Make it your ringtone.
Make it your ringtone. Good. And then walk up next to him and say, call my cell phone right now. This is what you sound like.
I see you putting up a no farting sign. I see that. I see the Beano. I don't know. There's a lot of ways to go. But we the invitation is on the table. If your supervisor won't handle it, Kevin and Beam will call him for you, all right?
Absolutely. Okay. That would be
love
fantastic.
To, in fact.
All right, we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. How you dealt with this. Shannon, can you hold on for a minute?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll come.
Trying to help out KROQ listener Shannon, who emailed us about a problem in the mortgage company where she works. There's a, there's a farter, and nobody really knows how to handle it or what to say. Here's an email from Christian. Hey, guys, I doubt the guy has a medical condition or is doing it to be funny. Throughout college, I ran into many a dork, usually engineering students, who basically were like this, people who completely lack social graces. So he's suggesting that the guy doesn't even think about it and doesn't even imagine that there's anything wrong or offensive about it.
Is that possible? Shannon?
What? He is a dorky person.
Yeah, but
that fits his person. That fits his profile.
All right, here's what you need to say. You need to walk up to him and go, do you realize that no one else in this office is farting except for you? Just say
it. That might be appropriate.
All right, hold on. We're going to take a few calls, see if we can come up with any kind of an answer here. Let's begin with Stephen in Irvine. Good morning, Stephen.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'm not that guy now, but I was totally that guy that farts all the time at work. I actually used to fart this girl that was on the other side of the cube from me would just get up and see and be like, oh my God, and make all this, and everybody would look over and she's like, he farted. And I would be with my work clothes on, and I'd just start sweating, being, oh, my God, because I used to work out all the time, and I take all the creatine and protein, so that's what it was.
Oh.
But were doing it on purpose, it sounds like.
No, I was not doing it on purpose. I would actually try and hold them in, but as in, when you're taking that much protein, and, you know, just...
You can't help it?
No, it was horrible, but...
Hey, Mike can't even make it to the toilet with the stuff he's taking. You can't be surprised by Steven.
Yeah, that's true. All right, thank you, Steven. I don't buy that. Do you buy that, Mike? No. You know more about that.
No, you can clearly, you feel it coming on, you can get up and excuse yourself and go to the bathroom.
Says the guy who couldn't make it to his
I personally don't, but you
Let's
can
try
do it.
Another Mike in Malibu. He's on line three. We're trying to help out Shannon with your experiences on the farting coworkers. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's up, Lisa May?
Hey, Mike.
I used to have a coworker at a pretty big company, and he was like one of the top salespeople in the entire company. And he would consistently go around farting on coworkers, as well as farting on other people's clients. And
other people's clients?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, he's just an obnoxious person anyway. But when I would confront him, or when someone else would confront him, he would just blatantly just lie in your face. I mean, he could have cut a fart like 5 seconds prior to you confronting him, and he would just lie, or he would blame it on someone else. I mean, we're talking about a grown man at a large company.
That's strong.
And there was a number of occasions where it almost went like fist to cuff between him and other coworkers because, I mean, he's farting on other people as well as other people's clients. So
that's disgusting.
No, it was. And, I mean, I had to work with the guy for like 3 years. And, again, if you were to see the person, you'd never think it. I mean, suit and tie, big company,
yeah.
One of the top employees in. And he was just maliciously farting.
I got to tell you, there's something appealing to me that there's a middle-aged man somewhere going, wasn't me. That's the best.
Yeah, I love the malicious farters, by the way, playing Acoustic Christmas, I hear.
Yeah, no kidding. Shannon, do you think he would deny it if anyone brought it up?
How could he? I don't see how you could deny that.
Oh, you could deny anything. It might not hold water. I mean, no, people might not believe it, but you certainly could deny it.
Kevin, be master plan is absolutely deny it, even if there's no way you're not lying.
The more evidence, the better. All right, let's go to Rob in Temecula. Rob, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about your place of work.
Well, I used to work in a safety. It was an industrial safety place, and we had a receptionist that we came to find out she had a nervous disorder. And the nerve, when she got nervous, the more nervous she got, the more bombs she dropped. it was awful because there were five of us in the office and we'd just float in and out, but we have two entrances and
sure.
The door
so
opened,
did she
was nervous and blew it all right into it.
Oh, God.
But here's the question. Did she act like it wasn't happening, or did she say, oh, sorry, I'm nervous?
No, at first she didn't say anything, and we narrowed it down. I mean, we called the sewer department, thought it was that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we went through a variety of different things, and finally she came in one day, told us she had a nervous disorder, and from that day forward, when she got really nervous, we just sent her home.
Wow.
And just told her, I mean, she would come in and say, today I have a bad stomach, and we knew, okay.
How about
my
that?
My eyes and nose are going to burn.
Wow.
So, jeez, that is awful.
Thank you for the call. Shannon, it sounds like you're lucky that your coworker is not toxic like this one
was. Yes, very lucky.
Could be a lot worse. Wow.
Well, let's take Don, because this is an interesting question, and I didn't even think about this. Don, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was thinking what the dead giveaway is, there's no odor. So that's very strange. Now, I know there's programs out there that have sound effects on your computer. Every time you open a file, it'll give a sound effect.
Interesting.
If he's just got that on his computer and he just doesn't think anything of it and he's hearing it all the time, he probably thinks no one really notices.
Shannon, is it possible that it's not him doing it? That it's his computer or what?
No, because we were in a training class recently and the people who sat behind him noticed.
Okay. That's a great idea, though, Don, because you're right. A lot of people assign, you know, every time you get an instant message or something, a little sound plays or something like that. That's a really good thought that it could have been, but it sounds like that's not the case with this particular one. But thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's see here. Let's go to Danny in West Covina with certainly one way to tackle this problem. Danny, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
What'd you do?
I, Pretty much like 2 years ago, there was like 10, 12 of us working at a warehouse, and we had this guy that was just bombing.
Right, right.
And we confronted him a couple of times. Hey, dude, you need to, you know, cut it out, dude. It stinks. And he wouldn't do it. So one day, you know.
All right, good morning.
You really don't need that kind of detail. Okay, thank you for the call.
I don't think a laxative is necessary in Shannon's case.
Are you kidding?
It makes it worse for everyone.
Are you kidding? That's the best.
Let's close in Glendale.
Glendale.
And Vartan on the line on line 7. I think this is what we're trying to avoid, Shannon. Listen carefully. Learn from Vartan. What's going on?
Hello, boys. Hi, Lisa and Shannon.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Basically, I work in a warehouse out here, and one of the guys usually walks through, and he taps the side of his stomach, and then about 5 seconds later, he lets it rip. And it's really bad.
Right.
He's made an art out of it.
Yes, he is. And so we finally hooked up a plan so every time he'd pass by, we'd all let one rip, and it became a big old war.
No,
Shannon, what do you think? You think that would make it better? Have everyone in the office save it up.
It got so bad that a couple of us had to run to the bathroom to...
Yeah, I think we got it.
Yeah, no. We understand. Yeah. I don't think the purpose of Shannon's email and phone call was so that she can now start farting in the office.
No, but that's a good answer that she didn't think of on her own.
A good one, bro.
Thank God for Vartan to tell her, look, Shannon, you gotta. It's a battle out there. You got to get into it.
I didn't think about that option.
See?
So he lets one go. You stand up and just walk right over to him and give it right back to him.
All of you. All of you do that at once.
There you go. That's the solution we were looking for. Well done. Thank you, Vartan. Thank you, Shannon. We appreciate you listening to the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's talk about our man, Doto.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of sugar. It tastes less fattening because it's European dessert. And then I just like some of the syrup, flan syrup.
Where did we meet K-Rock Lister Doto? Does anyone remember how he came into our universe?
I don't remember.
I remember how I met him. I don't know how you guys met him.
How did you meet him?
Lightning walked into the studio and he said, come here, I need to show you something. And I said, whoa, who? And he said, come here, come into Studio R. And I walked in and he just closed the door behind me. We talked and talked and talked.
You and Doe?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was
his friend. Remember his friend Caesar, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote Lightning an email or something and said, you got to talk to my friend. And
because he's a freak show.
That was the best day of our lives.
Did Doe have the effed up eye back when you first met him, Mike, or had been corrected?
Okay. Yeah. It was amazing, too.
It was. You couldn't stop looking at it.
It is weird that we have a few listeners that we are endlessly fascinated with and will be forever. I mean, a guy like DeJuan, God bless him, who listens to our show, we love that dude and always want to stay in touch with him and find out what's going on with him because his life is so interesting to us. Doto, we don't love him, but his life is equally fascinating.
How dare you?
No, he's a bad dude. Look, you'd go to Vegas with DeJuan and have a good time. You'd kill Doto and bury him in the desert if you went with him.
You're just wrong. I love Doto. Remember when Cycle Mike went over to his house for cribs, and he found a room full of panties, hundreds and hundreds of panties.
Yes.
Remember that?
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
He's guilty of so many things, isn't he?
Remember when he found the bag of knives?
What are in these bags here? It looks like you're hiding something.
It's not.
It's not? You mind if we go through these?
No.
What is this here?
Nothing.
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
You don't know whose that is? It's just randomly in your house?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, good times. The reason we bring up Doe today is that he has discovered MySpace, and he may be the last person on the planet, and certainly the last Asian to discover MySpace. And Mike, this has become your new obsession, right?
All that matters to me in life. Forget the election.
Yeah.
Like, I care who's going to be president.
Doto's for president.
On MySpace, okay? Do you understand?
Doto finally discovered MySpace and put up a homepage, and he's got some fascinating answers, some fascinating biographical information that we need to get out to.
Let me give you a little peek into the profile of Doto.
By the way, we're trying to get a hold of him. Not possible.
Oh, well, there's some updates on that.
Okay.
Through MySpace. Of course, he can't get in contact with Alex or anybody here
or Dean or anybody
and actually call the show.
Right.
But, there's some updates.
All right.
It starts off Doto's profile with the About Me category.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of give some background on what you're all about. Hi, K-Rock listeners, spelled K-L-R-O-Q.
Sure.
I'm Doto, ?
What's going on in his mind? How is I'm Doto a question?
Dude, it's a word jumble with him, you know.
Happy? Question mark? Excited to be here online. You can hear me on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, except for Saturday and Sunday mornings, and sometimes that on the K-Rock Los Angeles radio I do. I do stand up, and I have very much lots of money buffet in Singapore, Vietnam. I need woman 585 yet to get a period, by the way. Mm-hmm. I need woman 585-95657 Korean or Chinese or Japan would be in order from me to debate and decide. Period. I have a BA in communications and going for MA hopefully in next year of two. I saw Kevin and Bean.
I'm sorry, wait a minute. Forgive me for bringing this up, but he has a degree in communication.
Degree in, I have a BA in communications.
Okay, that's just, let's think about that for a second while Mike reads his words.
And going for MA hopefully in next year of two.
What next kind of communication nest. Does he have a degree in? It's not in English language communication.
No, not human verbal skills. It's
maybe he's a master of telepathy with bees or something like that we don't know about.
If saw Kevin and Bean, / I hope to make in show business the entertainment soon. I need Babs.
Babes.
He spelled it Babs.
I know, but.
Yeah.
Who I'd like to meet, Steven Seagal. And he means Steven Seagal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Music I like Laotian music. Movies, Hard to Kill, Above the Law, Mark for Death, Exit Wounds, Half Past Dead, and
all Steven
Seagal
movies.
Books, The World is Flat, Heroes, Kevin and Bean, K-Rock Ralph, K-Rock Mike, K-Rock Lisa, Showbiz Beat, I Need a Woman.
I drank your milkshake.
The reason I found him was because there's a like a Kevin and Bean MySpace group. And,
right, and Mike goes on there regularly to see what people are saying about him.
To see all the nice things.
Yeah.
And I saw that a topic starter was Doto, and I figured, oh, it had to be a fake profile. Then I saw the message that started it. Hi, K-Rock, Kevin and Bean listeners. After since 2002, 2001, when I debuted, made on air, wondering if I'm just wasting time being on air, not going anywhere on the entertainment, on the entertainment, on the entertainment, that I'm hope, not only stop here in progress because I don't want to beat dead horse that is dead. If I'm entertainment, please give me your honest opinion if I'm just going being honest. I hope to someday finally make it in the entertainment business someday. You thank you, honest opinion, I need a woman.
I drink your milkshake.
He is very, very, very consistent with needing a woman. I'll tell you that.
Yes, he's focused on that.
The rest of it, there are a bunch of different themes that run through, but it always ends with, I need a woman.
So I found that.
Yeah.
I found that message, and I immediately went to that profile and sent a MySpace message to that profile. I said, if this is, in fact, Doto, we want to talk to you tomorrow. In fact, Kevin, you were with me yesterday when I was doing that. We need to talk to you tomorrow, preferably 7 o'clock hour. Please call Alex or Bean immediately and make sure that you set that up.
Right.
We heard nothing from
him.
Not
a word.
Okay. On that same Kevin and Bean MySpace group, an hour and a half after I sent this, Doto writes, hear this, K-Rock listeners. I talked to Mike on MySpace, and he said, and might be on the air tomorrow to update situation of endeavor of comedy talk show on the entertainment tomorrow on Kevin and Bean tomorrow. Tell Mike I said hi. I need a woman. Catch you guys later. Maybe next week, K-Rock.
What?
So he got your message that you wanted to talk to him.
Clearly,
put him on the show.
Clearly.
But he didn't respond to any of us, and we couldn't get him on the phone.
The one thing that I asked him, I said, please, I was very clear, please call Bean or Alex or email either of the two and let them know that you can be on the show because we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
So that message came out. Clearly, he decided he needed to do more. MySpace messaged me back, and he left this comment. And this is maybe the best one of all.
All right.
Mike, I am trouble. Have finding people listen to K-Rock on MySpace. How do I talk? To want me to give to be honest opinion? Honest opinion for future endeavors. On the entertainment, I need some Babs.
Babes.
Kevin Bean, just one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
He's magic.
Why doesn't Doto understand the connection, the very short and direct connection between wanting to make it in the entertainment business and, oh, I don't know, coming on K-Rock? I mean, it seems like he would take every opportunity to be available to be on this program if he's really trying to make it in Hollywood.
I mean, there's a lot of entertainers here in this town, clearly. And most people would do anything to have a forum like this to get their name out there. And Doto just doesn't seem to make the connection that we desperately want him on the show. Desperately.
Yes.
And he desperately wants to make it entertainment, but he doesn't seem to believe that there's any connection between the two. I think he really, in his mind, believes that the world of Kevin and Bean has no correlation to, like, entertainment.
Well, that's possible, but, But then he goes on the, you know, how did he find the...
One could only know.
The message board or whatever. I mean, he had to have searched or something to come up with a message board. I don't even know where that would be. But I guess...
I don't know. You're probably right. He probably went to MySpace and he's like, okay, I got this whole new world of MySpace.
Right.
What am I going to do? He immediately went to search and put the only words he knows, Kevin and Bean.
Could be, yeah.
So, but he...
He's the best. I love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
I really do. I
want to marry him.
And you don't understand really...
Oh, yes, on Prop 8.
You don't really understand how amazing he is until you spend some...
Or no, whichever one allows me to marry Doto.
No.
Okay.
You don't really understand how amazing he is until you spend some quality time with him alone. But he is a fascinating man.
And by
he
quality time...
I mean gay sex.
Yeah.
October 24th at 4 p.m., Steve Alvarez fight Mosley at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Brought to you by Golden Boy Promotions. Must be 18 or older to gamble. Please gamble responsibly.
What the hell?
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
What happened there?
I
think Lisa's been in too many fights.
A little stroke.
That's a little very brain possible. Damage.
6:54, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
All that plaid belt testing she does over there at the dojo.
Fart machines.
I need some cameras here. Give me a little cameras. Give me a little camera.
Oh.
Come on.
My
Kevin?
Bad. My bad.
What are you, new?
Sorry.
More details are coming out about the relationship between Guy Ritchie and Madonna as they divorce. This coming from a source called Female First, which is a entertainment news website.
Doesn't sound reliable.
For the ladies.
And they say a source close to the couple says that Madonna and Guy Ritchie hadn't had sex for 18 months as their marriage crumbled.
Sounds about right.
Well, they were often not in the same place either, right?
And when they were in the same place, Lisa, sometimes they stayed in separate rooms because they were fighting so often.
Oh, wow.
But apparently the real cause behind their lack of sex was Madonna's obsession with exercise. You know, she works out 4 hours a day.
Oh.
That's insane.
She could cut that down.
And reportedly, by the time she got to their bed, she was too exhausted to have sex. A friend close to the pair says Guy got more and more frustrated as she spent nearly half the day exercising. When she did eventually get home, she'd be too tired to make love. Guy would plead with her to spend more time with him, but she wouldn't. She insisted that she did her four-hour-a-day workout. Hmm. Apparently, Guy also claimed that her super-toned body was a turnoff.
Yeah.
And confided in friends that he yearned for the soft, womanly curves she had when they first fell in love after meeting in 1999. After a few drinks one evening, a friend says, Guy said it was like cuddling up to a piece of gristle. All the soft, feminine tones had been replaced by the build of an athlete.
Ooh, that's great.
Yeah, that's got to be bad.
Gristle is not a word you want to be described with.
As.
To.
Jaws of life.
Out of focus.
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
Great story on CNN.com in the living section of their website. Talking about the five biggest million-dollar mistakes made by movie stars. These are roles passed over by movie stars that turned out to be huge hits and
would
have made them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
The top five. First one is the role of James Bond in Dr. No, the very first James Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cary Grant was apparently offered the role.
Wow.
And he said no, despite being the producer, Albert Broccoli's best man at his wedding.
Hmm.
Really?
They were very close friends. He went to him and said, you would be the perfect James Bond, Cary Grant. And he said, I don't think
so. Not so much.
Thanks so
Wouldn't
much.
He have been too old, though, Ralph?
Not really. 1962, I guess it was made. And he made... To Catch a Thief with Grace Kelly, I think, even later than that. So he was still a pretty good-looking, suave dude. I mean, he probably wouldn't have had a long run as Bond because he would have gotten older, and then, but he could have done a couple at least. Number two on the list, the role of Neo in Matrix was originally offered to Will Smith, who turned it down to star in The Wild Wild West.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's a regret.
although you can look at him and go, well, he's certainly successful without that.
No, he didn't suffer,
but
he would have made an assload of money from the three Matrix movies had he been.
And would have been great in it, too.
And also would have avoided making Wild Wild West.
Yeah, well, there is
which
that.
Which would have been a huge plus.
Win-win.
Number three, the role of Vincent Vega in Pulp Fiction. John Travolta was in that role, and it turned him from a has-been into one of the most bankable stars in Hollywood overnight, pretty much, that role.
Uh-huh.
Originally was offered to Michael Madsen, who has since worked with Quentin Tarantino many times. But apparently Michael was stuck in the lengthy rehearsal process for Wyatt Earp, the Kevin Costner movie.
Oh, good.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Excellent.
Madsen later called Earp a big waste of time.
Oh, boy.
And regrets not having been available for Q to do that role in Pulp Fiction. Number four, Steve McQueen, legendary actor, turned down, listen to this list of roles he turned down, the role of the Sundance Kid in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Well, that wasn't a hit.
Because Paul Newman refused to give him top billing, so he walked out of that project. Turned down the lead in The French Connection, which won Gene Hackman an Oscar for that movie, and the lead in Apocalypse Now.
Awesome.
Because he told Francis Ford Coppola he didn't feel like spending 4 months shooting in the Philippines. Later turned out to be a year, by the way. So he might have dodged a bullet on that one.
That was a nightmare.
Three huge roles
turned out to be one of the best movies of all time ever, too.
Yes.
True. If you survived it.
Gave Martin Sheen a heart attack, but other than that. And lastly, number five, my personal favorite, Sean Connery turned down the role of Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Wow.
No kidding.
Because he said he never read the book and just didn't get it.
Screw him.
So grumpy.
They offered Connery 15% of the gross
of
each of the films that he would have done.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Would have made Sean Connery $400 million.
Just for those three movies?
Yes.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Screw him.
Because there weren't a lot of that. Remember, that was a weird project, and there weren't a lot of big stars in it. I mean, he would have been the movie star name in that cast, right?
Yeah. It would have made him more money than any actor had ever been paid for a single role.
Wow.
$400 million if he had played Gandalf. He passed
away. How about that?
So now we know why he's so cranky.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Today's Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today. Let's take a look at what's available. The Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton.
Mm-hmm. How was that, Ralph?
It's okay.
Yeah?
Much better than the first one with Eric Bana. But I still get pulled out of the movie every time they go into that CGI Hulk effect because it looks like a cartoon video game kind of deal, and you just don't buy into it. I still can't understand why, with all the technology at their disposal, they don't make up some giant bodybuilder type guy and shoot it in a way that makes him look 10 feet tall and 2 tons and just pull it off that way. Because the minute they go into the animated stuff, I go, oh, there's that.
Yeah.
The Other Boleyn Girl, if you didn't catch that in theaters, is available today. Family Guy, Volume 6.
Buy that.
Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Get a little residual check every time they sell a bunch of DVDs. Or you can buy the Family Guy Freakin' Sweet Party Pack, which is 22 discs of Family Guy, and comes with ping pong paddles, a net, and balls. If you are a ping pong ball fan.
Sure.
Who isn't?
King Kong's balls.
Ping pong balls.
Oh, sorry.
So happy.
And just in time for Halloween, The Munsters. Remember that old 60s sitcom about Frankenstein and his wife and Grandpa Dracula and the little wolf boy and everything?
Love that show.
The entire series is available on DVD today. You can pick that up. CD's out today. Shooter Jennings. Country star Shooter Jennings has a new CD out. I'm just kidding. I don't care about country music.
I think it's a tribute to his father, Waylon. I think that's what the new album is.
I think I don't care. We don't need to talk about it.
Okay.
You brought it up.
AC/DC's got a new CD called Black Ice, which is available only at Walmart. You can get the limited edition coffin box edition of Death Magnetic by Metallica is available today. If you already have it, but you want it in a coffin box, you can pick that up today.
A full coffin size?
I think it's a tiny coffin box. Alanis Morissette has a new DVD called Feast on Scrap, some of her live stuff. And High School Musical 3 Senior Year, the CD soundtrack, is available today if you want to pick that up.
Ralph, should I get the CD and listen to it ahead of going to see the movie on Friday at 11:05, or should I wait and see those songs in theater before I hear them?
I think you should get the CD, sharpen it to a fine point, and then just rake it across your jugular vein in your neck and just bleed out before you go to see the movie.
By the way, Ralph, just a note, Bean already graced us with that joke off the air.
Hey, that's not a joke. I'm serious. Would you rather see the songs in the movie, or do I listen to them on the CD first before I go to the film? Will one spoil the experience for the other? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
God, I hate you so much.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Carrie Fisher. Princess Leia, of course, says, from all the Star Wars movies, is 52. Nick Oliveri from Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah?
Yes.
Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
They're good. We enjoy them very much.
Waiting for a little love. A little love for the Queens.
Oh, you're waiting for applause or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good band. There we go. 37 years old today. And Jeremy Miller, from Growing Pains turns 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
From the hit TV show called Fringe, actor Joshua Jackson.
First, it's time for the APRO line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You can leave us a message on any topic.
I was just passing by double A, MCO, and I was thinking of you guys.
Nice.
Very
nice.
Poor Tommy Lasorda.
We had a big conversation last week about the wave.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Bean and King of Mexico are just beside themselves. They cannot take it when people do the wave. And this girl has a suggestion as to why our producer Alex does like it.
You know, the only reason that Alex likes doing the wave is because it makes her boobs go up and down.
That's why you guys should like it, too.
That. Yeah. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing then during the wave.
Psycho Mike, this question's for you.
Psycho Mike, I just heard your commercial. How much is a Halloween horror? Give me a call.
I think it's Halloween horror, isn't it?
No, it's a whore. It's a whore? It's $7
an hour. Oh, it is. Okay.
$7 an hour. Pretty cheap. Best song of all time, can't play. Best song of all time, can't play.
Yeah.
Paper Stage.
This is the best song ever. It helps me easier.
All right.
It just puts a whole new spin on
All right.
We
okay.
love
No.
And we're over 30.
That was a response to the fact that I said it appeals to 8-year-olds everywhere.
We'll explain in about 20 minutes why Paper Stains, one of the most popular songs of the year on K-Rock, can no longer be played on K-Rock.
It can be found online, as usual, Bean. You're forgetting the meeting.
True. Yeah.
Kevin and Bean, for the last 2 months, I have changed the station every time MIA Paper Stains comes on. But now, I leave it on because it might be Miss Cleo. And it's going to be funny.
That's what I'm talking about.
Awesome. Yeah.
Paper Stains. Paper Stains. You, New York. You.
We didn't say that. He did.
Remember the best tape of all time when Bean as Flash Phillips did his Footloose intro?
PGC, I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
That is bad, PGC. I almost sprained myself right there in the ankle. I guess you could say, I guess you could say it made my foot loose. Because I'm gay. Because my name is Bean. You, Bean.
How are you going to come at me like that? I'm just trying to put food on the table.
And that
just trying
it?
To make a living.
That did it?
Yeah, I got to work.
Megan Fox. Megan Fox. You know, my daughter's name is Megan. You know, but anyway, who cares about that? Megan Fox, baby. Yeah, Megan Fox, you!
It is Foxtober.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? This song is going out to the UCLA ladies and also the UCLA guys. It's fun to study at UCLA. It's fun to study at UCLA. To get a better education with study hard. To graduate from there, it's fun to study at UCLA. Hey, UCLA ladies and guys, try to find me on MySpace.com or Facebook. You can add me. I can send you some comments back. Peace out, Kevin and Bean.
God, that was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Best song ever? DeJuan doesn't go to UCLA, right? He's just a fan of UCLA's.
Correct.
Oh, I thought he did. I thought he was... No, he doesn't go to anything?
He goes to school. He does not go to UCLA.
Oh.
But he wants to.
Okay. Yeah, he wants to.
His dream would to hopefully transfer after he's done.
They should hire him to be their mascot.
How dare you?
That would be awesome.
He's not a mascot.
He could be. I mean, he's so enthusiastic about the school. Picture him at all the football games and stuff, running up and down, a little outfit. That'd be awesome.
What would his little outfit be?
I don't know.
Is he the Bruin?
Probably a Bruin. He'd probably be the Bruin. Yeah.
All right. That's a great idea.
He'd be the best Bruin ever.
323-520-AFRO. We'll take a quick break and come back with a Chris Angel sighting next on.
So we got an email yesterday from K-Rock listener Charlene. I'm going to be honest and tell you that I was unable to read it because it looked like the freaking Unabomber manifesto. It was about 10,000 words of tiny little type single space with no paragraph breaks at all. But I saw the subject line was more proof Chris Angel is lame, and it signed off with keep making fun of Chris Angel because he deserves it. And I thought Charlene is our kind of girl, and she's someone we need to get on the show to talk to. Good morning, Charlene. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. How are you?
We are good. Your verbal skills, I hope, are more concise than your email skills.
Well, you know what? I was still recovering from Vegas.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. All right, I got you.
So you and some girlfriends went to Vegas for the weekend? Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah. We went just for a little quick trip.
Mm-hmm.
It was-
All right. And tell me how Chris Angel plays into the weekend then.
Well, it was about 3:30 in the morning, and one of my friends and I decided to head back to our room to have a few more drinks before going back out to another club.
Sure.
And so we are completely inebriated and decide to, you know, get into the elevator to head up to the hotel room.
Sure.
And somebody yells, you know, hold the elevator. And I yell back, no.
Nice.
And then we push the closed door button. And I'm like, have fun in Vegas. And there's actually one other man in the elevator with us, but whatever, we don't care about him.
Right, sure.
So the doors close, and then all of a sudden they open again. And in walks these two big black guys all dressed in black, and some, you know, white guy with his crazy emo hair and his stupid bling bling.
Oh, dear
And he heads
God.
To the back of the elevator. We have no idea who he is, and we're, like I said, a little inebriated, so whatever.
Oh, you mean you didn't recognize him at that point?
We listened to, oh, this story's great. We
That's
don't recognize
best.
Him the whole time.
That's the best.
And we're making fun of him the whole time in the elevator. We're making fun of his bling. We're making fun of his stupid, I mean, it was retarded what he was wearing. And his watch was huge, and I was touching his watch.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh my God.
Because my friend Annika, I was like, hey, Annika, look at his watch. He's like, grab his wrist and pull it over to her. And the look on his face is like, he wanted to hit us.
He really does have more, you know, bling than rappers. It's just absurd
it
the
is.
Amount
it's
of
crazy.
Diamonds and chains and watch and earrings and everything else.
It was ridiculous. And I, you know, we're talking about it, and he's like, there's a picture of him in the elevator. And he goes, hey, this necklace kind of looks like that guy's, and points at the picture.
Oh!
We don't even make the connection. I look at it, and I go, wow, it does look like that guy's. And so I'm looking at him. I'm looking at the picture. I'm not looking at their faces. I'm just looking at the jewelry. And
right.
I'm like, wow, it does look the same.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, my friend Annika, she's just sitting there looking at Chris Angel, just telling him about our night. She's like, yeah, we went to LAX. We went to Body English. We're coming home. And we're completely drunk. And I'm like, hey, we're going to go take shots in our room. You want to come with us?
Yes.
We still have no idea who he is.
Right.
Okay? And he's like, no, I'm actually going to go to bed. You know, I live in this hotel, and I'm just going to go to bed.
Did I mention that I live here and that I work here and that
yeah,
that's me on the picture?
Yes, that's what he's trying to do, and
yeah.
We don't even care. And I'm like, it's 3:30. You're going to bed? You're lame.
It's so funny that you didn't recognize him, though, especially when he's standing next to his poster. But I guess you just, in your mind,
drinking.
You're drinking, A, yeah. And B, you weren't expecting to run into Chris Angel, so you just weren't even open for it, yeah.
And the next thing we know, it's the 17th floor. I have no idea how long the bodyguards have been opening the doors, but they're like, you ladies need to leave the elevator.
What?
You ladies need to take another elevator down. Because what had happened is we told them our floor, but they pushed the wrong button.
Right.
So we were just riding with them all the way to the top, you know, just... We don't even care, you know. We're
and they there. Thought you. They thought you were risky people, so they had to kick you off.
Yes. Well, I think we were offending him. We were calling him lame. We were touching him. I was, you know, like holding his necklace.
You're the best.
They're not very good bodyguards.
They're not.
No, not at all.
But you know what? He probably has trained them that if they are chicks, to let them come close and whatever,
probably.
Whatever, because he can charm them.
Probably, yeah.
But not when Charlene's had some drinks.
No.
Especially when they're drunk chicks in an elevator in your hotel at 3:30 in the morning, you give those girls a little bit of leeway because you don't know where that's
sure.
going to head, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
So when did it occur to you guys that it was Chris Angel? No, after you'd already been kicked out of the elevator?
As they're holding the elevator and they're escorting us out, they had pushed the button for another elevator to open to go down.
Right.
As we're standing like in the little hallway between, you know, there's like eight elevators
right.
in those whatever towers. So we're standing in the middle between the up and the down elevator, and I was like, Annika, do you know who that is? As the doors open and they're staring at us.
Oh, good.
And I'm like, that's Chris Angel. And so we're like, have fun going to bed, lame-o. And we walk to our elevator to go down.
Nice.
And then as we're in the elevator, we're like, wait, that was Chris Angel. And we're like, why didn't we ask him how Britney Spears was in bed?
Oh,
that was
dear
the
God.
Thought in our mind. And then later, we're like, oh, we should have taken a picture of him. We should have, you know, got a picture of his stupid bling around his neck.
Yeah.
Just to show people how ridiculous and stupid
if you
it
haven't seen him with all of that bling, it really is shocking. You look at it and you go, no one would do this on purpose. That
no.
has to be a joke.
It was stupid.
Not a joke.
I couldn't believe it. And his hair. I couldn't believe his hair.
He does have the emo hair. Charlene, we have a little bit of a surprise for you.
Oh, what is
and
that?
And that is that we have Chris Angel on the other line.
How are you doing, Charlene? Great to hear from you again.
It's good to talk to you.
I'm sorry we didn't have a chance to spend more time together when we were in the elevator. I wanted to show you a magic trick. I wanted to show you how I make my penis disappear.
Did you hear her description of your bling, Chris?
Yeah, I think she's just jealous because I look so amazing and I'm such a rock star of magic.
Charlene, would you say that's true?
I'd have to disagree extremely.
Well, that's okay, because Charlene did her own trick. I just heard on this phone call she made the word lame-o reappear from 1987.
Well, if the shoe fits, Chris, I got to be honest, it sounds like you were lame-o in full effect over the weekend.
Oh, yes.
Well, I just want to say it was a pleasure meeting you, and my two giant black bodyguards also enjoyed meeting you and your friend. And they wanted to know that they got the doctor's test results back and everything's okay.
The doctor's test results?
Yeah. That rash will clear right up. Don't worry about it.
Well, Chris, every once in a while it's good to hear from our listeners to confirm what we've always suspected, which is that you are in fact a big giant douchebag.
Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. And yeah, we're trying to make it sound like everything's great. We're all in good moods and all that, but whatever.
You know what I mean? Lying.
We're lying. Yeah. We're living a lie.
we got to, Mike, you know what that's like, living a lie, right? we got to quit having the meetings after the show. I think that's the problem right there is if we could get out the door at 10:01 a.m., we'd be fine. But man, if we're here at 10:05 a.m., Mr. Weatherby's in our face and he's always got an opinion about something that isn't good on our show.
Yeah, or he's talked to people who have an opinion very strongly about what's
exactly
on our show. And we're sad to tell you that an old friend has passed.
Uh-oh. An old friend that we've loved very deeply since last Wednesday, I think.
That's correct.
It's been less than a week, actually.
We hardly knew our friend, actually.
Remember back in the old days in mid-October of 2008 when the number one most requested song on K-Rock was a little thing that Miss Cleo, who answers phones here at our show, a little song that she sang called Paper Stains to the tune of MIA's Paper Planes. Remember back in those heady, carefree, fun-loving days when Paper Stains was a popular song on K-Rock?
I do.
Last week?
Those were great times.
Last week, yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of last week.
Uh-huh.
Oh, those were good times. Wow, that was fun. And boy, did the listeners love that song. Boy, did they enjoy the potty humor as much as we did. Boy, did they request it. Boy, did tens of thousands of them stream it at krock.com. And I got to tell you know, considering it was a song about poop, I don't think I heard of a single complaint. I mean, there were people who were grossed out by it, but I don't think anybody was offended to the point where they thought we shouldn't play it or that it was in bad taste or anything like that, right?
No, this doesn't have anything to do with that. This has to do with our company hating us and hating funny and hating fun and hating the Lord.
They do hate Jesus and puppies. That's what they
do.
So they had a meeting, I guess, and somehow the word came down to us that there's no more Paper Stains. Now, as far as I understand, for now, they're just regulating what's on the show, not so much what's on the website. So you can still hear it streaming in the sound section of the Kevin and Bean page at krock.com. Paper Stains does still exist. It just doesn't exist, I don't know, on the radio where most people can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bastards.
Sons of bitches.
You can't say that. That's offensive to some people.
Beep a beep.
Particularly bitches. They're offended by it.
We need a 21-gun salute, please.
Pretty weak, it's a weak gun there.
This is back when Omar didn't understand that a 21-gun salute is more than one shot at a time. He actually made 21 gunshots.
I think it's supposed to be 21 guns, isn't it?
Yes.
Or 7 3 rounds.
Yeah. Sure, there's that.
So,
hang on. All right.
These funerals take a long time. So Paper Stains, as we knew it, is gone. We got the phone call from New York that we're not allowed to play it anymore. So I guess we've done the best we can to piece together a version that is almost as good. Is that the idea?
No. Oh, we think you'll love this. We think this is better than the original.
Okay.
Who's with
me?
Sure.
Why not?
Enjoy. Go to the website if you want to hear the real thing.
There you go.
I already miss it.
I need paper because my stomach's in pain. Gonna run to the so I can make the ate way too many spicy sausages. Gotta release these hostage. I wish I just had to.
Yeah.
But no, I've got a bad case.
That's good.
For dinner, I'm all gonna make the put come to
lose this up in the translation here.
One, I mean, show me what I can do for
oh,
you
good.
In a big contest. I would probably win. I shouldn't have had all the Mexican. Damn, I gotta go. Yeah, I got more than the lumberjack. Now I gotta go do my business.
My favorite part. Yeah.
Much better.
Is it?
Isn't that great?
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That's what happens when you let the guys in suits decide what's funny.
All right. We don't have time for another.
You got it, Omar. Thank you.
We don't have time for another 21 gun.
And now, another drama-filled moment. On the Hills.
I haven't seen you in so long. What is going on?
I have a boyfriend.
What?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess he is.
That was a drama-filled moment on the Hills.
What would we do without that show, you know?
Big doings right there.
Be happier.
Paper stains is offensive. The Hills isn't. That's the world we're living in right now.
Exactly.
All right, 7:57 on the Kevin and Bean Show. The worst cover songs of all time in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's happening?
You ever heard of a pay or play agreement in Hollywood?
Pay or play?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is a contract where if you say I'll do your movie, they say we'll give you X number of dollars to do this film. You say it's a deal. If that movie doesn't get made, they still have to pay you.
Because you've set aside that time in your schedule.
Yeah,
right?
Blah, blah, blah. It's the sweetest
that
deal
makes
in the
sense.
World. Oh, shut up. It's the sweetest deal
well,
in the world.
Maybe you
Look,
passed up on The Matrix
yeah,
to do a movie.
Yeah, and there's no way if you're Robin Williams, you can get another job if that doesn't happen. There's no way you could go over and do another movie or do a couple episodes of Law & Order or do whatever the hell else you want to do.
Don't a lot of things have to line up in order to get everybody on board at the same time available to make a movie, though, Ralph? I mean, you can understand if you're blocking out 6 months that you should be paid for that time.
Yeah, but if that block of 6 months doesn't happen, guarantee you, if you're a big star, and only the biggest stars get these sweetheart deals.
Oh, I see.
I guarantee you get another job. Guarantee you. But what they want to do, it's punitive. They want to be able to punish people. If you don't use me in your movie, then you're going to pay me anyway. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo, I'm a star. That's where it comes from. Screw that. Oh, I know I'm out of work for 6 months. I only make $40 million a movie. What am I going to do? Oh, my kids have to eat. Anyway, Robin Williams is suing a company called Frank and Beans Productions over a comedy that was supposed to get made, and he had such a deal as this pay-or-play agreements that we've talked about. Robin Williams has filed a $6 million lawsuit because he had signed up to star in a detective comedy with James Gandolfini of Sopranos fame called A Couple of Dicks.
See what they did?
Frank and Beans Productions talked about not casting Kevin and Bean in the leads of A Couple of Dicks for their new motion picture. Apparently the deal fell through, and now Robin says he deserves the cash. Well, good luck with that, Robin.
Is this a gay thing?
Oh, A Couple of Dicks didn't get made. Now I can't work. Oh, I'm starving.
Shut up. Ass. Axl Rose just about to release Chinese Democracy, the new Guns N' Roses album.
Seriously.
Sure, right sure on the precipice is. Of dropping that into our laps. I can't wait.
This time he means it.
This time, you're going to please enjoy Chinese Democracy. What's it been, 15 years now we've been promised this?
I think season? So, yeah.
15 not years there. He's been talking about making this album. Well, the British tabloid, the London Sun, went to the Guns N' Roses website and did a poll of Guns N' Roses fans. And 87% of them responded that they aren't interested in new material at all.
What? on their website?
They said it wasn't worth the wait. Or they responded, they just don't care. 87% of Guns N' Roses fans say they're not that interested in the new Guns N' Roses CD.
It is possible to be away too long, perhaps.
You may. Sometimes you test people's patience to the point where they just don't give a rat's ass anymore.
I'll tell you what dampened my enthusiasm for the project. Two things. One is Axl hiring and firing people every few years to the point where it's just a solo album at this point, which isn't that exciting to me. And two is the stuff that I've heard that has been leaked, not all that good.
Yeah. Maybe people have lost faith in him and his ability to wow them.
Bean's also upset that the CD is not pumpkin-flavored.
That's true.
I want to be able to lick the CD and taste pumpkin for the holiday season.
I bought pumpkin ice cream yesterday. Dreyer's pumpkin ice cream at the market.
Shut
I'm
up
so
with
excited.
Your pumpkins.
Put some walnuts in that. That's a great dessert right there.
Is that hella good?
It is. Thank you. It is hella good.
God, I hate you so much.
Sharon Osbourne.
Very nice.
Sharon Osbourne wants Nicole Kidman to come clean.
About
she is challenging Nicole Kidman to come forward and say that she's had Botox or some form of plastic surgery to keep looking so good.
Nicole's not that old.
No.
She's what,
not
early
at all.
30s?
Yeah.
Sharon says it's obvious that she's had it and Nicole's forehead looks like a flat screen TV.
There is a new way to get a facial.
So she's demanding her to come clean. Easy, Sharon.
Botox isn't really that big a deal.
What does it matter to you?
It's not plastic surgery.
Why don't you go give the jaws of life to Ozzy backstage?
That's right. He needs that.
There's not a truth in cosmetic surgery law in this country that I'm aware of. Were you required?
Yeah. Do not believe there is. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Jeremy Miller, little kid from Growing Pains, now 32 years old. I think, if I have my stories right, Jeremy Miller was a dude who, when he was still underage, ran away with like some older woman.
Underage.
Yeah, and they got married someplace, and his parents were trying to get him back, and there was this big hullabaloo.
Good times.
Yeah. 32 years old now. Nick Oliveri, former singer and bassist from Queens of the Stone Age, is 37 years old. And Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia.
Didn't you still find her attractive?
No. In the last few years, she's gone so far downhill so fast.
But she's still
I'm
very
not even
funny.
Tempted to. I'm not very talented,
talented,
very funny.
Yeah.
Looks awful, though. I mean, even 10 years ago, she'd still be bellworthy in my mind, and I was being generous, but not anymore.
You ever see the episode on 30 Rock where she plays the mentor to Tina Fey's character, the TV comedy writer, and she's sort of out of her mind?
She's brilliant.
She won an Emmy for it, in fact.
Yeah. 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All right, let's talk about bad cover songs. Bean found this song from Big and Rich, and if you're a fan of country music, you probably still don't like Big and Rich. But if you're not a fan of country music, Big and Rich make you want to jab your ears with some type of a pencil and just ruin your hearing forever.
I don't know what the equivalent in the rock world would be. They are to country maybe what Nickelback is to rock. A band that is inexplicably popular and every song they do sucks so bad you can't believe it got made and it gets played on the radio and then people buy it. That's what Big and Rich are like.
Dude, you forgot Rockstar.
Exactly. I remembered Rockstar. That's what I'm talking about.
Here's Big and Rich, and they are covering, the Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right to Party. And it seems like maybe they should not be allowed to do this somehow.
Well, your mom busted in and said, what's that noise? Cause mommy just chilling since the Big and Rich Boys. You gotta fight!
Yeah.
If you were drunk and you were in a bar and the bar band on stage started singing that, you would think it sucked. You would throw stuff at them. Yeah, it would be an abomination. How does something like that get made, signed off on, and then released as a record and get played on the radio and have people like? How does that happen? Is it just people who have never heard the Beastie Boys original?
I don't know.
Because I think it sucks whether you know the original or not. It's just an awful, awful version of that song.
It's not... I sure don't know. I don't know how anyone would not know the Beastie Boys Fight for Your Right to Party.
I don't know. Maybe younger country music listeners.
Maybe. But Bean's right. That song right there is bad.
Yeah.
It blows. Yeah, it really does. So it kind of got us discussing, is it the worst country song or the worst remake of all time? Country song doing a rock song or any kind of cover song. Yeah. Is it the worst of all time? There's a lot of competition for that rule.
Yeah.
Let's face it. There have been thousands and thousands and thousands of songs that have been remade. And sometimes you hear them and go, oh, my God, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
And that one certainly falls in that category. But we have a bunch of others that came to mind as well.
Yeah, we have a bunch of our own suggestions. If you'd like to call, it's 1-800-520-1067. The worst cover songs of all time. Bean, remember when we pissed off Duran Duran? Remember when they got really angry at us?
Yes, I do.
Called yelling at us because we said 911 is a joke is bad.
I wonder if what Lisa was saying earlier is true, and that part of it is that you can't help but compare it to the original. And if you're gonna cover a great song by a great band like Public Enemy, you better be able to pull it off.
Yeah, you don't want to wussify it for sure.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, and that's what Duran Duran does on that. And they just do not have the rhythm, they don't have the soul, they don't have the energy, they don't bring anything that Chuck D brought to sing in that song. It's just awful. But you're right, they definitely called us on that.
What about Britney Spears? She's done some bad covers.
What has she done?
She is not a coverific person. Well, she did. What was the Bobby Brown song? My Prerogative.
My Prerogative.
She did that. Oh. That wasn't okay. Terrible.
Okay.
But the Stones, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. I don't know if you ever heard that. Britney Spears.
Yeah, that's awful.
That's not good.
It kind of takes the raw sexuality and energy that the Stones bring to the original and just flushes it down the toilet. It's almost like she could have been singing any song with
with
that beat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was bad.
All right, let's take some phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Drew in Burbank. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning.
Hi, Drew.
I might be hated for this.
Not by me.
But by me.
Go ahead.
I have to say Johnny Cash doing Nine Inch Nails hurt.
I love that song.
I have to.
I love the way he did it.
I hated that. But I know I'm in the minority here for sure. I know most of the people here like that. But he's 900. And
that is certainly a great example, though, of a matter of taste. I mean, there are probably equal numbers of people who thought it was fantastic, the perspective sung from an older man, and then people who thought it was just sacrilegious to tackle Trent's song.
I mean, it's Cash. It's Johnny Cash. But, I mean, it was just, no.
Yeah.
No.
Here's a little taste of it.
I hurt myself today.
You know, at the very least, though, he's an artist who has a history and who has a take on the song.
Yeah,
it's almost
absolutely.
It's not exactly, you know, completely different, but it's different enough that he puts his own spin on it that it's okay.
And with him singing, it has different meaning, too.
Yes. Right. I'd rather hear Nine Inch Nails sing it, but as far as cover songs go, that's I guess it's not terrible.
Wow, look at that. Kevin,
but not good. I mean,
not
his
hat to an old dead guy. That's impressive.
No,
that doesn't have it
all. It's
often.
Not good. Don't get me wrong. It isn't good.
And by the way, the video, one of the great videos of all time, too. Remember?
Yeah, the video was really cool.
It was brilliant. All right, let's talk to Chris in Glendale on line one. Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about the worst cover songs of all time. You're not really talking about Big and Rich again, are you?
Yeah, unfortunately,
yeah.
If the Beastie Boys weren't bad enough, they covered AC/DC's Shook Me All Night Long.
Big and Rich.
It's atrocious.
They got nerve, those guys.
They have a lot of nerve. You know, it's really like they don't, it's like they've been praised for everything they've ever done, so they just think if they do it, it must be good.
Maybe it's like country music audiences love everything they
do. I guess, I don't know.
They can do no wrong.
Thank you for the call, Chris. Hey, speaking of You Shook Me All Night Long, do we have a clip? I know it was floating around yesterday of the Celine Dion version of that because, oh my God, talk about the wrong match of a singer with a song.
This is Celine Dion doing a cover of You Shook Me All Night Long. He wants to pass the key, he kept his motor to lead. He was the best damn man I had ever seen. He had a sign for signs telling me no lies.
Ow.
Here's the Big and Rich version of that song.
Well, honey, you shook me all night long. Yeah, honey, you shook me all night long.
Wow. That's,
oh, my Lord.
That makes Celine Dion almost sound good.
I know.
Almost.
Jeez. Are they going for comedy in that cover?
I don't think so.
Big and Rich? I don't think they ever. I don't know. I don't know what they do.
Let's talk to Leanne in Torrance. This is another one that I think you're gonna have differences of opinions on line five. Hi, Leanne. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Bad cover songs. What do you got?
Cornell singing Billie Jean, man.
Chris Cornell doing the Michael Jackson Billie Jean.
I liked it. I liked
that. Oh, that's terrible.
Said her name was Billie Jean, and she caused a scene. And every head turned with eyes to dream, being the one who would dance on the floor and around.
I kind of like that, too, because he made it different enough.
It doesn't replace Michael Jackson's version. If you could only have one, you'd clearly stick with the original. But I understand where you're coming from, Leanne. Thanks for the call. Let's do one more before the break, and let's try Caitlin in Studio City. She's on line three. By the way, we're taking your calls. Worst cover songs of all time, 1-800-520-1067. I know there's some ones out there that we haven't thought of yet. Give us a call. Hi, Caitlin.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
I think Madonna's cover of American Pie is maybe one of the worst covers ever.
I didn't know she did that song.
Yeah, that's a bad song to begin with.
American Pie because of that song.
I love that song.
Yeah, I hate
it. It's a great song, and it was a horrible cover, and it was a number one pop single just a few years ago.
It was?
It was number one.
Wow. Really? It was number one. Imagine all the people out with new music that didn't get their number one because Madonna did American Pie.
Wow. And she did like 7 minutes, too. It was horrible.
Yeah. Well, that song can't be done in less than 7 minutes.
That's true.
It's a horrible song.
All right, Caitlin, thanks for the calls. Your call's next when we return right after this on the world famous K-Rock. Offspring, by the way, not guilty of doing bad covers. Their covers are usually good, like The Damned, Smash It Up. They did a great job with. But we're talking about the artists who maybe take on a great song and then screw it up. 1-800-520-1067. That's a topic on the table. And by the way, I'm very offended, Kevin. I'm getting a lot of people emailing saying that the Dynamite Hack, Boys in the Hood, is one of the worst covers of all time.
Oh,
I say, how
no,
dare you, sir? How dare you?
Didn't. That's a great cover because at least they do something unique with it.
Right.
I think, anyway. Let's go to, let's see here. Let's start with Myra in Van Nuys. Hi there.
Hey.
What song do you think is a bad cover?
Oh, my God. You guys should hear Alanis Morissette's My Humps.
What you gonna do with all that ass inside them jeans? I'm gonna make you scream, make you scream, make you scream.
Don't you get the idea that she was doing that to be funny, though?
She was.
Absolutely.
And
Myra,
it's hilarious.
I think you don't have any support in this room. I think we're all fans of that. I'm sorry.
We reject you totally. Okay. All right.
Thank you for the call.
Let's go to Senia. Is that her name?
Sure, why not?
Senia in Huntington Park. Good morning.
Senia.
That's what I said. What song is a bad cover?
Paris Hilton's Do You Think I'm Sexy? That's Rod Stewart's.
Oh, yeah.
That's a crappy song to begin.
Here's a little bit of that.
I think part of what makes that bad is what makes all Paris Hilton songs bad, whether they're covers or not, though, is just that her voice is so thin and, you know, it's just that drum machine. I mean, everything about those records are just awful, no matter what they're covering.
That song sucks to begin
with. I think that song sucks, too, to begin with. Why would you pick that? All right. Thank you for the call, Senia.
Like that's really your name.
All right. Let's go to Joshua from Huntington Beach. Good morning, Joshua.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bad cover song?
I would say Jonas Brothers, Hello, Goodbye.
You say goodbye, and I say hello, hello, hello. I don't know why you say goodbye, say hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, that's,
that doesn't sound good.
That is not good.
And there's something a little more offensive, I think, about taking a classic Beatles song and being like a 14-year-old kid trying to pull it off, too.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? The thing about that is that, hold on, we're going to give you, I forgot to tell you that we are giving people who are on hold from now through the through the end of this.
Just give it up.
Copy of Midnight Club Los Angeles. And on the platform of your choice, you can race through Los Angeles. It's very realistic. You can see where you are and everything. So hold on for your prize.
People are very lucky.
Sorry for everyone else.
Midnight Club is in stores today. So apparently that's the prize for your contributions to this segment. Because we already have a limited number, so not everybody can get it. But thank you for the call, Joshua. You hang on. You are going
to
get one.
Let's go to Mika in Torrance. Good morning, Mika.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hello. The song is Tim McGraw and Kenny Chesney. There's some other country guys, but they're doing Snoop Dogg's Gin and Juice.
Really? There's a country version of Gin and Juice?
Yeah.
Oh, that can't be good.
That sounds awful.
I don't think we have that one, but we're going to have to take...
It's pretty funny. funny when you listen to it. It's really bad, but you just can't help but listen to the whole thing.
Did they do it to be funny, do you think?
I think so. Oh, yeah. It's like all the country guys, you know, they're all like friends or whatever.
Yeah.
So they all did a song together.
All right.
You know what? Snoop gets what he deserves, though, because he did a horrible cover of Metallica's Sad But True. So maybe that was like retribution. I don't know if you
Let's hear a little bit.
I'm your dream, make you real. I'm your eye when you must steal. I'm your pain when you can't feel. It's sad but true.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's horrible.
That's not real.
That's 100% real.
Are you kidding 100%. Me?
Did you just hang up on her before we gave her her Midnight Club, by the way?
Probably.
Here's a couple more from the email, by the way. Hilary Duff doing My Generation by The Who has been suggested by a number of people. Here's one that I can't disagree with anymore. I think is a fantastic cover is our little friend Tori Amos, her cover of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh, that was
the
a good
Nirvana
version.
Song, which I thought she did a great job. Several people have written in about The Cure doing Purple Haze, which I also disagree with. I thought that was terrific.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Speaking of The Cure, 311 doing The Cure's Love Song is another one that's gotten some hits on the email today, too.
Sure.
Which I thought was just kind of a straight-up cover. They didn't really do anything with it. It was kind of a pointless cover, but it wasn't really awful. It's not like you heard it and hated it. It just was kind of dull.
Let's go to Rob in Simi Valley. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Good. What song?
Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I'm going to have to go with Beastie Boys, Benny and the Jets.
Fantastic. Here's a little of that. That's got to be comedy, though, doesn't it?
I hope.
100%.
I mean, they can't possibly think that sounds good.
I think
Dave's got to be drunk.
Yeah, that's what
maybe.
It sounds like.
Maybe.
I think, I think Dave's right. I think that is Biz Markie who's doing that, not the Beastie Boys. But I can understand why you would be confused by that. Biz is a terrible singer anyway, though. So
yeah, he's terrible.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Yesenia, is what it says here. That can't be right. In El Monte on line 5. Hey, Yesenia. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
What song?
I have the worst cover song. It's Fall Out Boy. Sing Beat It.
Beat It, yeah.
Yes. Remember we played a taste of that when that came out. That was awful.
Yeah. I don't know why they did that either, because that's another just direct recreation. It's not, they didn't make it their own in any way.
Yeah.
So why do it? All right. That's
thanks
a good
for the
call.
Hang on for your game. Hey, by the way, number one in the email might surprise you. I didn't realize there was so much hate out there for this artist doing this song, but far and away, number one in the email is Sheryl Crow and her cover version of Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah, that is horrible.
That is terrible, I admit, but who
I don't think I've heard that.
Who would even think of that? How does that even come to your mind?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's go to Anthony in Chino. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, guys.
Bad cover songs.
I got Kelly Osbourne did the Madonna song, Papa Don't Preach.
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yep.
Mm.
Horrible.
Yeah, not good.
And then remember when we did the parody song, Kelly Don't Eat?
Yeah.
And then Ozzy called and threatened to come down and beat Lightning with a baseball bat?
I do remember.
That was good times right there. All right. Thank you for the call, Anthony. We have way too many to even deal
I know.
With.
Can we get Katie in from Cyprus? Because this is a song that we went out of our way to play clips from when it came out. She's on line one. Because this was one of the worst vocal performances I've ever heard any professional musician attempt. Katie, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi there. What's
How
the remake?
Are you doing?
Good.
What's it's Jessica Simpson. These boots are made for walking.
Oh, you are not kidding.
Here you go. These boots are made for walking. That's just what they'll do. Yeah, that's bad, as was this song.
Ow.
Yeah, she shouldn't sing.
No.
She really should not sing.
She should just stand there.
Less singing, more topless. All right, hang on for your game. Thank you for the call. Look, we're just out of time on these for right now. We could go all day with these, but there are plenty of them out there.
But we do have the best remake ever. The best ever.
Going the other direction.
You
okay.
forget about this, Bean? This is the maybe everyone else should, you know, like maybe for the future, no one should be able to do covers after this one because it's so damn good. Remember this?
Of course.
Oh my God,
come on.
Yes.
Some Asian chick named Wing. High quality drum kit. Oh, also the Armenian comedian. Comes all the way around, doesn't it?
Oh, I mean, the best.
Doesn't
I agree.
It, it's so awful that then it starts to be going, yes. No way, no way, no way.
I can't live without this.
Party time. My friends are going to be there. Ooh, yeah. On the highway to hell.
Hear that, Sheryl Crow? Suck it.
That drummer is going crazy.
Looter.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:45.
So if you're paranoid, if you're the type that believes the government is always watching you, perhaps you don't want to hear this story that we just got off the news.
Tonight, an exclusive report about American citizens being spied upon by the U.S. government. The Bush administration has maintained surveillance powers given to the National Security Agency are only used to monitor terror suspects in a time of war. But now two former U.S. intelligence operators have come forward telling ABC News they and others listened in on the private, intimate phone calls of hundreds of American citizens.
It was just personal conversations that really nobody else should have been listening to.
That's not how President Bush has justified eavesdropping on Americans without a warrant.
It's a phone call of a Al-Qaeda known Al-Qaeda suspect making a phone call into the United States.
I would call it a lie because we were definitely listening to Americans who had nothing to do with terrorism.
Navy Arab linguist David Murphy Falk worked at the same NSA facility until last November.
And at times when I was told, hey, check this out. There's something really, some good phone sex.
Both former intercept operators say there were times when the eavesdropping found the terrorist needle in the haystack and disrupted attacks against U.S. troops. Underscoring, they say, the time wasted listening to Americans talk to Americans.
Look, at the time they were protesting having to get a warrant to listen to people's phone calls, the argument from the government standpoint was we need to act as quickly as possible to uncover terrorist plots. I mean, the safety of America is in the balance. And then right. There were others who said, I know that that is going to be abused. I know that you have the purest of intentions. But what's going to happen is you end up hearing me talk to my college girlfriend. That's what's going to happen.
That's the problem is even if it's meant well. You know, there's a jackhole like me that works there. I'm going to listen to everything.
Absolutely.
Of course you are.
Just because of the period interest. There's no other reason that you would want to, you know?
And remember all those people who said, and you saw this on the news all the time, I don't care if the government listens to my phone calls because I don't have anything to hide. The only people who would be protesting this right being taken away are the people who are terrorists or have something to hide. But apparently it was very widespread, and you heard those people who were involved in the NSA program. And we wanted to find out more about it, so we actually filled out the paperwork. I know you find this hard to believe because it's us and we're slackers, but we filed the Freedom of Information Act, and we were able to get the paperwork that involved our phone calls, the ones that they listened to of people on this show. And sure enough, they did.
Come on. Seriously. That was a good effort. Why, here's my phone now.
Valley Liquors, how can I help you?
This is vodka. I need more, vodka, and I have no more vodka in my house.
Sir, what can I do for you?
Vodka, goddammit! Motherfucking vodka! And it's too many vodkas. I'm going to choose the Kettle One vodka. Can I have some vodka?
Yeah, just come down and pick it up.
All right, I'm going to send my daughters. I'll give them money, and you give them vodka. Can I have vodka?
Sir, how many bottles do you like?
All.
How dare you?
Oh,
see, what you don't understand is that we petitioned the government, Kevin. We were able to get access to the calls that they taped of us, and that was you being taped by the government. You didn't even know they were listening.
That is outrageous.
They didn't get me, too, did they?
Oh, are you kidding? Here's Bean.
Thank you for calling Albertsons. What can I do for you?
What kind of pumpkin-flavored foods do you have for the holiday season?
Well, sir, we have canned pumpkin, pumpkin pie, pumpkin seeds.
Do Do you have the pumpkin ice cream? I love pumpkin ice cream.
No, sir, we don't carry that.
Do you have pumpkin Pop-Tarts?
No, sir.
Do you have pumpkin flavored ice cubes?
No, sir. No one has those.
What about pumpkin peanut butter?
That doesn't exist, sir.
What?
Why not? I would eat pumpkin peanut butter.
I'm guessing you'd be the only one, sir.
Do you have an air freshener that smells like pumpkin? Or perhaps some pumpkin suppositories?
Oh. Sir, I'm going to hang up on you now.
But pumpkins are hella good.
The poor government agent who was assigned to listening to my calls. Wow, is that not fun?
I would listen to that all day, every day.
But that's it. They just got you and me, right?
No, Bean. They also taped Omar from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude. All right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
That guy should be arrested.
Definitely.
There you go. No.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Sorry, Lisa, we're...
I know, you're amusing yourselves over there in the corner.
We are, I apologize for that.
Some guy drilled himself in the nuts on a skateboard.
Mike's been showing that all morning long.
He won't stop talking about it. It's his favorite thing ever.
We'll put it up on the Internet Roundup as well.
Okay. All right.
Ralph, you understand we filed a paperwork with the government to have the NSA tapes released to us, is what we did.
No, I don't.
Come on. You got to give credit to Bean for selling that one the whole way.
Sure did.
That was strong.
He committed.
He did.
That's the difference. Kevin bailed before the bit began, and Bean was committed to getting it out there for the masses.
How about Joshua Jackson?
Whatever.
How about Joshua Jackson? Thank you. One of the stars of the TV show Fringe tonight at 9 on Fox. We'll talk to him coming up after the news at 9. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Why, whatever. What's going on, Ralph? What's
going
on?
Speaking of TV, did you guys see Heroes last night?
No, I didn't. What
a great episode last night it was. And you know who I'm starting to get the warm, tingly feelings about is this the speedster, Daphne. This actress, Brea Grant. Have you seen her? The little the girl who's runs faster than fast. She's like Hero's new nemesis.
Yeah.
She's got great personality.
She's adorable.
Yeah, she is.
Adorable. That's what they need is a really cute, sexy chick on that show.
That's what I'm saying. More of that.
For sure help.
And also want to give you a highlight, or heads up, rather, for a TV highlight this evening. Don't forget tonight's House is the episode Lucky 13, where Olivia Wilde has her drug-addled lesbian affair, one-night stand.
God!
If you'd like to see it, you can go on YouTube right now and go to Lucky 13. If you just type that into YouTube, you can see Olivia Wilde and this smoking hot girl just drugged out of their minds, just rolling around being all lesbianic. Spectacular.
I'm in.
I didn't come over here to eat tacos.
Yes, you did. Oprah Winfrey is giving herself a $500,000 birthday present.
What is it?
Does my butt look big?
That's what the problem is. According to Star Magazine, for her 55th birthday, Oprah is giving herself gastric bypass, a breast lift, liposuction, tummy tuck, and a facelift.
She's doing that all at once?
Yes.
Doesn't that seem like it would kill you?
When she's all done, she will look like a Barack Obama
for 2 months.
Yeah. Until she gains all the way back. Have you seen her lately? She's huge.
She's enormous.
She's just
huge.
Giving up now. Huh?
She's just blown up. So
when she came out at the Emmys, I gasped. I just couldn't believe how big she is. Because I don't watch her TV show, so I had no idea how fat she'd gotten.
I'm so fat.
Gasped. She'd go,
You know he did. Yep. That's exactly what he did.
I'm so fat.
He's the only guy I know who actually gasps. Mm-hmm. Like out of a comic strip. When they're like, gasp.
That's
true. I can't believe this is happening. He died. Ashley gasps.
I'm so fat.
Joe Jonas has already moved on from his girlfriend Taylor Swift, a little hottie country singer.
Yeah, she's a good deal.
To a new young lady named Danielle DeLisa.
Well, I don't know who she is, but I'm sure she's not ugly.
Yeah, she's way hot. TMZ.com has the photos and the story. So apparently they are a new couple. They saw them walking the streets of Los Angeles hand in hand, and that's it. Doesn't matter because he doesn't bang. So,
oh, that's right. Right. It's wasted on him.
All these hot girls are wasted on him. That Taylor Swift? Oh, I would wreck her.
Yes.
If she's 18, I'd wreck her.
She is. She's 18.
Oh, I'd wreck her then.
What's it like to be one of these Jonas Brothers and one of these Harry Potter actors or something like that that is set for life at like 16 years old, never has to worry about making a payment the whole rest of his life?
You know what it's like? It's like blue balls, apparently, because these guys aren't banging.
I think it would kill me. I mean, I think if I was set for life money-wise early in life.
Oh, yeah, you'd be dead, man.
I'd be dead.
Yeah.
I don't have the self-control it would take, I don't think, to turn myself into something good. Like I have now.
You're quite the man now. You can say what you want about country music, and I do, because it blows.
Yeah.
But they do have some spectacular-looking broads involved in that country music.
They sure have a lot of hotties lately.
They do.
Even the older ones. Have you seen Faith Hill on the cover of Shape magazine?
No, I haven't.
Oy vey.
She's
pretty beautiful.
She's 41 years old, has had 3 kids, and she is in a bikini on the cover of Shape magazine, and you wouldn't... She's just diabolical.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. You know what she says has changed her figure drastically?
Vagina.
Yes. Lots and lots of vagina. No, Pilates.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Well, Pilates, apparently, is keeping her supple and flexible and good.
That's an Italian dessert, right?
It's actually exercise.
Does Pilates come in pumpkin flavor?
Freaking pumpkin. I hate you and your pumpkins. I hate this time of year because the pumpkins talk starts with Bean.
Well, Bean is obsessive.
I bought the pumpkin ice cream last night for my wife.
Yeah, but you know what you didn't do?
Pretty awesome.
You know what you didn't do until just this second? Start talking about it endlessly.
Yeah. It's the best time of the year when the pumpkin stuff. By the way, that I don't know if you've seen Sarah Evans. I think she might have been on Dancing with the Stars the last couple years, too. She's another one who's up in her upper 30s or something like that. Country music star. Just so hot.
Yeah, Shania Twain was pretty good.
Shania Twain, another one. Sure. Yeah.
Speaking of the holiday season, when are we going to hear the actual Halloween spook song? The actual,
November.
The real Halloween spook.
We do that mid-November.
We've heard a lot of Omar covers. Speaking of bad covers, a lot of those, but we haven't heard the genuine article in some time now.
Dude, it's only the 21st,
and I'm jonesing.
It really is time.
10 days away.
It is time.
Really,
it is
next
time.
Week.
Usually,
at the
we
earliest.
Get it like 3 no. weeks out.
No,
before.
Monday at the earliest.
Week and a half at least.
No, we need it soon.
That's a good tip, Ralph. Thank you for bringing that up. We'll have that for you tomorrow.
I need a little Halloween spooks, love. Today's celebrity birthdays. Frankenstein, you're right over there.
That isn't good for you. That's the one that started this whole mess.
I know. That's why we owe it homage. Please. Today's celebrity birthday is Carrie Fisher. You know her, of course, as Princess Leia from all the Star Wars films. 52 years old today. Nick Oliveri, former singer and bassist from Queens of the Stone Age, is 37. And Jeremy Miller from Growing Pains turns 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Before we bring our guest onto the air, Miss Cleo, are you blushing? Is that what's going on here? What's happening to you? What's happening to you? Are you blushing?
Maybe a little.
She's bright red. Are you kidding?
Here's what we were told. We were told that you wanted to lick the producer Alex's ear because she had the phone to her ear and was talking to Joshua Jackson.
Look, he's on the phone.
Is
right
that true?
Now.
Did yes, you want to lick her ear?
Maybe a little.
That's maybe the best introduction I've ever had.
See?
Well, you got yourself a real fan here, Josh. I got news for you. Hey, let me give the real intro. Fringe is one of the fall's most popular shows. It has already been picked up for a new season, and it airs tonight, Tuesday night at 9 on Fox. It is honked up and fascinating all at the same time. And one of the stars of the show, Joshua Jackson, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on Camera.
Well, I think you pretty much covered it. My work here is done.
Thanks for calling. Yep. Bye-bye now.
It has been a long time since we talked to you. I know we had you on a couple times back in the Dawson days, but it's been a while since we caught up with you. How you been?
It's been a while. I've been pretty damn good, and I'm doing pretty damn good right now. Of course, I'm on the wrong coast. I'm here in New York. But
yeah, it happens. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Sure. This Fringe is, like I said, it is honked up. It was one of those shows that I got kind of nervous because of what I went through as a fan of Lost to see how J.J. Abrams can throw 1,000 balls in the air and make it almost impossible to keep track of all of them.
Yeah.
But Fringe is doing a pretty good job of making it interesting but reining it in and giving you enough answers. I mean, you do have to pay attention to watch the show, but there sure is a lot of cool stuff to go along with it.
Yeah, well, I think his whole plan, their whole plan when they made this show was to learn from both Alias and Lost. And, you know, those stories, Lost is a fantastic show. It's one of my favorite shows on TV, but it is dense. If you miss a couple episodes, you might as well just buy it on DVD at the end of the season.
Right.
You're not going to catch up.
Right.
And, you know, they want our show to be a little bit of both, where it has the big story going on that you can pay attention to if you want to, but every story finishes. You know, you get to the end of the hour, and it's not always basically a to-be-continued, which is good, because I'm with you. At a certain point, it gets a little bit obnoxious. Like,
yeah, I don't want to work that hard, to be honest.
Yeah, because I... and in the, you know, it's like... Who knows that they're going to have Tuesdays at 9 o'clock off every week for 22 consecutive weeks?
Yeah, know? That's true. Yeah, and then you get behind and you feel like, well, I can't watch tonight because I didn't watch last week's.
Yeah.
This one does, it does wrap each episode up, though. Tell us about your father. Tell us about the pattern. Tell us what we need to know for people who haven't been watching. I watched every episode so far and love it.
Well, that's excellent.
Love.
So basically what people need to know, daddy's crazy. Daddy's not a healthy man.
Daddy
no.
is
no.
And this, of course,
Daddy's got some serious issues going on.
And this, of course, is Joshua Jackson's father, who is crazy but brilliant, but crazy but brilliant.
Right.
Yeah. The actor's name is John Noble, but he plays the character Walter Bishop, who is my character's dad. And the pattern is this series of events, this group of things that have been happening. That are just loosely seem to be correlated to each other, but nobody can figure out why. And it may be either that my father is so brilliant that he's able to figure it out, or he's so brilliant and evil that he might have caused it and created it way back when, and is now sort of reaping the rewards.
It is so good, and it's, what if some rogue scientist out there somewhere were using the human population as guinea pigs?
Mm-hmm.
That's basically the premise of the whole show. Actually, it's either that someone's using us as guinea pigs, or someone had the hubris. Someone was so arrogant they thought they could control these experiments, and now they've just sort of run amok.
Mm-hmm.
The second option is actually the scarier one to me.
Yeah, sure.
There's lots of people out there who would wish us ill, but the idea that technology and science has gotten to a place where the genie is just out of the bottle and there's nothing we can do about it, and that is even scarier.
I think you're absolutely right when you say that, and I also think one of the things that's cool about Fringe is that you have a skepticism of the government, and you really look at this show and you go, I wonder how much of this is based on what could really happen, because none of us trust the government. None of us believe that all the people in the government are good and are doing things that are good for the country. I bet it would blow us away, some of the science stuff and some of the government stuff that's going on that we have no idea about.
Yeah, well, just the things that they allow themselves to talk about. You know, like no government should ever talk about doing experiments on its own people, but the American government has done that in the past.
Sure, yeah, that's happened.
Government, but there's always going to be that. When you put that amount of money and that amount of power together, something bad is going to happen.
My favorite episode was where your father, the guy that plays your father, I should say, John Noble, who, by the way, is brilliant beyond words.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. And believe me, I'm plenty arrogant enough, but I think he's the best thing on our show. he's just fantastic.
But the best episode is when Anna Torv, who is super hot and is the lead, has to go in.
Did she just get a three bell ring?
She did, yeah.
She did,
yeah.
She did, yes.
She has to go in. She's going to try and access the memories of a dude that's in a coma, and the good doctor puts her under some kind of bath of goo.
That's what I had in mind.
She gets in a swimsuit. She goes in this bath of
like
goo.
An isolation tank.
Oh, it's just
how you know that JJ is a guy, and that the guys he hires to write the shows are also guys.
Yeah, that
right.
was.
Because if I was a writer, and I was thinking, well, here's what we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to get into the brain of her ex-boyfriend, and to do that, she's got to get naked.
That's exactly right.
What's the this Joshua Jackson on the phone? We're talking to Miss Cleo's future husband. The show's called Fringe, airs tonight at 9 on Fox. What's the clip that we have from the program, Kevin?
We have from last week's show. There was this dude who was supercharged with electrical energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We call him Electro-Man on set.
Electro-Man, okay. He walks by computers. They freak out. Everything that runs on electricity freaks out when he's there. And he's obsessed with this woman, and they get an elevator together, and he starts going crazy because he finds out she has a boyfriend. And when he goes crazy, you don't want to see what happens to the electronics, especially when they're on an elevator.
Yeah.
And it plunges to the floor, of course, and now they're trying to figure out what happened.
Walter's theoretical test subject, I think, is real.
The only problem with that scenario is that it doesn't make sense. If he was in the elevator car, he should have been electrocuted just like everybody else. And that's if the impact didn't kill him first.
Not necessarily. This person is both the source and the conductor of a large amount of electrical current, then it could well induce a form of electrodynamic levitation.
So he floated.
It is possible that he could have levitated long enough to escape the brunt of the impact.
That still doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know any of those words, but
but I bought it when I was watching it.
I'm not smart enough for some of the scenes on this show. That's all there is to it.
Hey, Joshua, is it at the point now that Fringe has been on long enough that people on the street are starting to bug you with what's going on with the pattern, just like the people on Lost always have to field questions from their fans whenever they're out in public?
We're not quite there yet. We're still in the honeymoon phase for the show. You know, I think we've started off really well, and we have a good size audience that's tuning in. So thankfully, I'm going to have a job for the rest of the year, which is nice.
Right.
But it hasn't gone to that next level. Last time I was doing this with Dawson's Creek, it took a couple of years for it to sort of percolate into the general consciousness.
Right.
And
right.
I think it takes a while for it to filter down. Which is, I got to say, it's kind of nice. It's like, it is the honeymoon phase. It's where the show is still ours and we just sort of, you know, go to work anonymously before, hopefully, you turn a corner at some point.
Exactly.
And then really,
yeah.
What am I supposed to say? Like, you know, hey, can you reveal to me the ultimate, the story behind the entire show?
Sure.
Absolutely. Here, let me reveal. Yeah.
Well, I would certainly hope that's what you're going to do.
All right. We're almost out of time. Miss Cleo, anything for your boyfriend, Joshua Jackson, before we let him go?
Anything I should bring home, honey?
Oh, dear God.
Just your beautiful face.
Oh, dear God.
You have my phone number.
Look what you've done, Joshua. All right, it's one of my favorite new shows. I have watched every episode Tuesdays at 9 o'clock on Fox Fringe, and Joshua Jackson, Miss Cleo's husband. Thank you.
Hi, Joshua.
Hi, good to talk to you.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Toll free 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air. Get a prize today. How about a pair of tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain Fright Fest, taking place Fridays through Sundays through Halloween night? Now I get what the bonus night is, because it's not on a Friday through Sunday. It's a Thursday.
Ah.
That totally makes sense. Now that I read it and understand it, bonus night is Thursday, October 30th. So you win tickets to the Six Flags Fright Fest from K-Rock.
All right. Let's begin with David in Granada Hills. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What to do?
I gotta let you guys know that last night I saw a Tara Patrick's Breast at middle school, now known as Steel Panther at a key club. Thought you guys would enjoy that information.
Wow, Tara Patrick's boobs. You must be 1 in 400 million people have seen them.
You are special.
Was she showing them to the crowd, or did you just catch a glimpse?
No, she got up on stage and lifted up her shirt and let everybody see them.
Huh. Well, I think that's good. She needs share. That's good. She's done her part. I mean, don't get me wrong, but she still needs to continue sharing.
An immodest porn star. Very strange.
You're very special, David. You know, I saw the Dodgers play baseball one time. Nobody gets to do that. It was cool.
It is similar.
All right, let's go to Tommy in Encino. Good morning, Tommy.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Tommy?
What's going on?
I wanted to inform everybody about the FEMA coffins and their plan to kill 90% of the U.S. population. It's a video on YouTube. Actually, there's several of them. And FEMA has several hundred camps that are pretty much prisons. They have barbed wire fences facing inward. They all have train tracks that go into them. They have trains parked there with shackles inside of them. Millions of plastic improvisable coffins. It's pretty scary stuff.
FEMA's out to get us.
Yeah, FEMA's out to get us. Absolutely.
Usually you have to listen to overnight AM radio to get calls like Tommy's.
I love Tommy.
I do too. I mean, we're down with that. We're down with conspiracies. We're down with mass death. But where do we go? Where do we find out more information on this?
You're going to go to YouTube, and it's under FEMA coffins and their plan to kill 90% of the U.S. population.
You're saying FEMA coffins.
FEMA coffins. It's because they have millions of these coffins just stacked up and ready for us.
Okay. Fantastic. Why does FEMA want to kill 90% of Americans?
So they can better control the rest of us.
I think that's true. I think
we're so out of control.
I'm putting myself at great risk by going on the air.
No, we understand that.
You certainly are.
Appreciate your courage.
Hey, Tommy, are either Senator Obama or Senator McCain in on the plan and going to implement it when one of them becomes president?
They are. They're both members of the Illuminati. And,
okay.
It explains all of that in the video.
They are both in on the FEMA thing?
Absolutely.
Oh, who do we vote for then, Tommy?
See this video.
We're done for either way.
Wow.
Is there no resistance?
There's no resistance. What you should do is probably move to Europe somewhere.
Well, why aren't you doing that, Tommy?
Well, as soon as I can save up enough money, I'm going.
Screw the money. Put on a backpack and go.
I have a question. If it's such a risk for you to come on the air and tell us about this, how is there a readily available video that explains it all on YouTube?
Well, the internet is a free exchange of information. You'll find all kinds of good stuff there if you just look for it.
YouTube is also putting its life at risk.
Good call.
All right, listen, Tommy, we have many more questions for you. We want to take a phone number from you. We are going to do the research on our end today, and then we'd like to have you back on the air tomorrow so we can discuss this further. Is that okay?
Yeah, great.
Okay, good times.
All right, hold on.
Good times.
I love that guy.
I do too.
If I was going to give any organization, any department of government the job of killing off 90% of Americans, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be FEMA. They seem to me like they would not be able to get the job done. If that's what they did in Katrina? Yeah, I don't think they're very capable.
Safe. Heck of a job, Brownie. Hey, wasn't it FEMA that built all those temporary shelters for the Katrina victims that made them all sick?
Yes, that's what I thought he was talking about at first when he said FEMA coffins.
Now they got the camps going up and running with the train tracks.
With the train tracks only going in, which begs the question, how do the trains get back?
They don't. They're disposable plastic trains.
All right, let's talk to Eric in East L.A., who is clearly high. He's on line three. Eric, welcome to the Kevin DeVine Show. What'd it do?
How about them Patriots dumping on the Broncos?
How about them Patriots?
Got around to winning again.
Yeah, surprisingly.
41-7, I think it was, and you're a big fan of this. What's the guy's name? Sam Cassell? Is that his name?
Yeah, Sam Cassell.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name?
Matt
Something
Castle.
Like that. Same thing.
Not same thing at all.
Close.
I see here that you think the Patriots are better without Brady.
Nah, not really, but they're getting it done.
Wow.
All right, that's a good call.
Thanks, phone screeners.
We're going to give FEMA your phone number.
If you would like to be a phone screener at K-Rock, feel free to send
By the way, Niners just fired their coach. Yep.
Did they?
Yep. Yeah.
I like it when they do that mid-season.
This is the third coach that's been fired mid-season. This has got to be some kind of record in the NFL.
Let's talk to Ray in Long Beach. He's on line four. He's got a comment for you, Ralph. Hi, Ray. Welcome to the Kevin DeVine Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Ray?
Hey, Ralph, I'm sick of this. You need to get yourself a Blu-ray player, my friend.
How do you know he doesn't have a Blu-ray, and what are you sick of?
Because I'm hearing him saying that he's got Batman on Blu-ray, but no Blu-ray player.
I did mention I bought the disc, but I don't have a Blu-ray player yet.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Oh, my God. I bought The Incredible Hulk this morning on Blu-ray. Liv Tyler looks gorgeous.
Looks good
in high definition.
Doesn't it seem like the special effects, if they're considered a weakness of a movie, that you don't want to see that in Blu-ray? Because it'd be even more obvious.
Does the Hulk look even a little cheesier in high def?
Hey, we're talking about women here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I don't know what I was thinking.
All right.
I need to get Blu-ray just for the upgrade and quality of visuals on women.
Exactly.
I see. Do they make Blu-ray porn? Is there Blu-ray porn?
Yeah, actually, they do have high def porn. I've heard about it.
I'm going for that. No, I want to see it.
Do not.
I want to see every glistening bit.
I don't think you do.
I think I do.
But I don't. I don't think you do.
You can see every glistening zit, and it's not.
Come on, Mike. Why do you have to ruin my erections?
Let's do one more. Robert is in Covina. He's on line five, continuing a conversation that we had a little bit yesterday on the show. Hi, Robert. What'd it do?
Hey, how's it going? What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do, baby? Robert?
What's going on?
Yeah, I was watching Saturday Night Live on my DVR the other day,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed that Sarah Palin, she's hot.
Wait a minute.
She definitely hot.
Because in the end of the show, when they tell everybody goodbye, she was wearing some high leather, knee-high boots. I was taken aback by it. It was pretty good.
Were you taken aback?
Yeah.
Did you gasp?
Yeah.
So you're saying she's hot?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. She's hot for a politician.
No!
She's hot, period.
I don't think she's just hot for a
very attractive woman.
She's attractive, but, you know, in the big scheme of hot, she's not a girl you look at. If you walked into a restaurant and saw her, you go, oh, isn't a good-looking broad over there? You go, oh, she's hot! My God, she's hot!
No, it would be somewhere in between, I think.
You know, it's hot for teacher hot. You know why some teachers look hot? Because most teachers are fugly and hideous. So when you run across an attractive teacher when you're an adolescent, you're like, oh, my God, she's the best because she, compared to the others, is attractive.
Look, I'm not saying she's a 21-year-old playmate. I'm saying if you went into the TCBY and she was serving up yogurt.
Pumpkin sorry. yogurt? Pumpkin flavored?
You would see her behind the counter and you would go, I would hit that. I mean, she is a very, very attractive woman.
Ralph's saying if she was serving up yogurt with Hillary Clinton,
then you say, wow,
now she looks good.
Super hot.
Yeah.
She's serving up yogurt with Megan Fox.
Not
like,
hot.
How do I murder this old broad to get to Megan Fox?
That's
what
you're that's a good point.
Lisa Mann.
Hey, yeah. Gene Simmons.
Speaking of serving up the yogurt.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Throat yogurt.
Do you have any flavored, pumpkin-flavored throat yogurt?
I want to thank our guest, Joshua Jackson, for joining us. Miss Cleo's future husband. The show is called Fringe. It airs tonight at 9 on Fox. And real quick, before we talk about tomorrow, Ralph, you are going to be broadcasting live this Friday morning from the Queen Mary in Long Beach. Do I have that right?
Is that yes?
That's me on the boat there.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be down there for the blood drive. We're going to be raising blood.
You raise blood?
No, I think
raising
we do. Blood. Collecting blood. Yeah, we'll be collecting blood for Cedars-Sinai Hospital. I'll be down there all morning long during the morning show. Come on down and see me and give some blood for corn's sake.
Ralph will be down there from 6 till 10, but K-Rock will be there all the way until 3. You can go to krock.com for all the details to secure your donation time and print out your paperwork before you go if you want, or you can donate without a reservation, but you may have to wait a bit. krock.com for details. That's this Friday morning, the K-Rock Bleed It Out Blood Drive.
I think if you come down like 6 a.m. and hang out with me, you won't have problems given.
Probably
that's what
not.
You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking it'll probably be, you know, if you're going to come without a reservation, that would probably would be the best time
come
to
early.
Come. Don't go when McCabe is there, because McCabe plays by his own rules. He's a madman with a badge and a gun. He's McCabe.
He draws quite a crowd, I hear.
Who the F is McCabe? First time I've ever heard of McCabe. He's going to be at the blood drive.
You know McCabe. He's the guy that spoke to Hasselhoff, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's the guy that spoke to Hasselhoff in the middle of the night.
Don't know McCabe.
I was there when you met him. He was the new... I was
Casey?
Like, hey, Rob, this is our
we
new
call
job.
Casey,
Casey
often?
Not
he was Hambone. When he first came
he's
here, he was Hambone.
He's been in the studio.
Hambone?
Well, he's not incredibly memorable.
Well, McCabe's better than Hambone. I'm glad that change was made.
Who's the other alleged
K-Rock?
Who's the other alleged K-Rock DJ
Savage.
That's on the website yeah. that has
Nick
like a
Savage.
Peg leg or something? Is that
Rick,
Nick Savage?
Rick Savage. Rick Savage and McCabe are fighting side by side on the waterfront.
With Kurt St. Thomas.
Wait a minute. Rick Savage has a peg leg?
On the website he does.
That's awesome.
His picture is him with a peg leg.
Oh, that's right.
Who are these people that allegedly work at K-Rock? We've been doing the morning show here for 25 years. We've never heard of any of these people.
Hundreds of people work at K-Rock. I have no idea who they are. Hundreds of them. I just would not recognize that in a lineup.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have D.L. Hughley on the program.
And McCabe.
And he's doing a talk show with McCabe on CNN. He's very excited about that.
And Nick Savage as the correspondent.
Bean, what is the name of the... How did you describe the Thrill the World event that we're talking about tomorrow?
It's the world's largest zombie thriller dance-off is what it is.
Yes.
And we're talking about this
yes,
tomorrow?
Yes, we are.
We are. You know how, Ralph, you like to do the casting calls during your showbiz beat sometimes? This is an opportunity for K-Rock listeners to go down and be part of a zombie thriller dance-off.
They're doing the zombie dance from the Thriller video
yes.
from 25 years ago?
Yes. And you can be a part of it.
I effing quit.
No.
This is BS.
Bean's excited. I'm excited because this sounds like the worst idea ever. So we got to talk to the guy that's organizing it.
Do you have any pumpkin zombies?
This was teetering on the fence of bad pitches.
It was, yeah.
It got pitched.
I don't know how it was teetering. It should have been well on one side.
Oh, it was well
fence.
On one side. But I think when Alex said it, I was like, oh, we got to do that so bad. And then you weren't there for that meeting, so.
Obviously.
LaQuisha will be.
Maybe we can talk to Sustainable Dave and see what he thinks about zombie dancers.
LaQuisha will be on the program tomorrow talking about my new BFF. And tomorrow is finally Ask a Plastic Surgeon. We tried to do this
good.
A week and a half or two ago. And I guess he had, I don't know.
Surgery?
Jury duty.
He had jury duty, yeah. Hey, Lisa, don't eat anything after midnight tonight, all right?
Just in case.
We're going to surprise you with a procedure.
Surprise me with plastic surgery.
We haven't decided what we're going to give you yet, but we're going to give you a gift.
Maybe let's just put a bunch of stuff in a hat
it's
and
a great
just pull
idea.
Something out.
I like it.
Like
all
Mad
right.
Libs.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Lift. All right, now give me a noun.
Years.
Labe.
A labe
lift. Oh, come on.
Of course.
Well, that might stop the leaking.
McCabe can fix your labe.
All right, Kat Corbett, now her we've heard of, is up
her
next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Sure. She's got Hands Held High, the new one from Linkin Park, All Systems Smashing Pumpkins, 3 Days Grace, Muse, The Offspring, and more straight ahead right after this on good old K-Rock.
Anyway, I'm out of here, heading back to L.A. from my home, my apartment.
Okay, we already said goodbye.
Kind of loud sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget that, anyway, I'll talk to you next Sunday.
Same.